Evergreen Development Construction Company is more than just a land clearing business. They help you from site inspection to blueprint design and construction. C.J. Carberry and the Evergreen crew guarantee your satisfaction in every aspect of site preparation and facility construction. Call Evergreen Development Construction Company in Tampa at 813-202-8008. That's 813-202-8008. Or give them a shout at 813-478-8847. Evergreen Development and Construction Company, the only company you'll have to call. Evergreen.
A new concept in driver and race team promotion has begun. McAllister Sports Management and Carnac.com have combined to bring you the ultimate in motorsports marketing. Nothing beats winning, but it does nothing for you or your team if not promoted to the correct group of individuals. Together, Jack Smith and Scott McAllister have over 35 years experience in the Florida racing industry and have developed a program to meet all your marketing needs, including custom design websites, professional and prompt press releases, audio visual presentations and distribution, autograph cards, logo design, and media skills development. Achieve the exposure you need to catch the attention of potential sponsors and race team owners in a unique and professional style. No stale websites and cookie-cutter press releases. We analyze your needs and tailor each project and program to your specific goals. Call 352-804-0078 or log on to McAllister Sports Management or Carnac.com for more information.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to Real Racing USA as we go live on the air quickly with no other streaming. Sorry about that, but we've got a long story to tell about some of the things that happened to us in New Smyrna Speedway. And right now,
the computer burned up.
I'm pushing air that is unbelievable.
What'd you eat?
No, you can hear it. Hear the sizzle?
Yeah.
And imagine everybody else is having to hear that.
That's okay. Can't always be perfect.
I know. But it
you like that high microphone, don't you?
Might be able to be worked on.
Like a status deal?
Trying to test one, too. Yeah. There we go. Turn your mic on.
There you go. I know it's a long reach.
Yeah, it's a long reach.
Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, Short Track America was trying to do you a great service on Saturday night as we took all the equipment to New Smyrna Speedway.
Is he going
to
whine?
I'm not whining. I just want to explain to people what's going on.
Hey, Bill, they sell this stuff at Walmart and various other computer outlets called compressed air in a can.
Yeah.
It blows all the dust out of your fan.
And hearing the fan?
No. What happened Saturday night?
The damn computer burned up. It almost burned up the racing radio trailer.
Right. What was the?
I just met the guy.
He only had 6 inches.
He wanted to advertise with me, and Bill goes and half burns his damn trailer down.
Yeah, I come.
That's all my.
I'm walking back from turn one. You meet me about halfway. Said, Bill's computer burned up.
Now, he had it outside the trailer when I walked back up, and it was still smoking.
Sounds like one of them lightning out in Myakka City things to me.
He even emptied an extinguisher into it. So tonight, you won't hear any major commercials. We'll do commercials as we go. We'll read them off the walls or off our old commercial sets and stuff. And you won't have to put up with it.
I think we should do a show
2 hours
on the positive influences of graffiti.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I think
we've heard that. That was pretty funny. And that's a whole nother. You guys go from topic to topic. I want to talk about the burned up damn computer.
Okay, go ahead.
But the drive up and the drive back was interesting, if nothing else. But the
whole night was great. Man.
I had a great time.
The whole day.
It's a good day.
By the way, how's Karen?
She's okay. She's not doing great, but she's okay. She's on painkillers. So until she can see her regular doctor.
I'll tell you what,
so we'll
man.
See it. Mary, come on down. Mary Green, ladies and
gentlemen.
They did
a hell of a job on this.
She is the only
person. And if we had an applause machine working on our computers tonight, which we normally do, we'd be clapping like crazy.
We only have one car in the entire United States of America touting the Short Track America logo, Mary Green. Has
one person who's brave enough.
That's right. And she's not making a bundle on it, I guarantee you.
I'm sorry to hear about your computer, though.
Well,
there was quite a lot of smoke going up like the.
Yeah, 2 o'clock at 2 o'clock in the morning last night, I'm screaming over the telephone at the top of my lungs at Bill. We're driving each other crazy over this thing.
It's been intense, but it's like brotherly love.
Well, a lot of cords and things trying to get everything hooked up for the show.
I'm trying.
Her microphone's not working very good.
Yeah, use that.
Trade to the other one. Just turn it on. Turn that one off, and you got it. Yep, she's pretty good at that.
All right.
Try that one.
Can you hear me now?
No.
No, you got to talk. Talk louder.
Hey, Jack.
Talk.
Yeah. Talk.
So,
there you go.
Okay.
All right.
We got it?
We're getting
you. Good. Okay.
Do that counting thing again.
No.
Come on.
Jack,
you've been spending the last half hour.
3, 4.
She's been spending the last hour.
So I'm going to tell you, the highlight no offense to Mr. Anderson, who just happens to be in here with us tonight. We have Wayne Anderson and Don Critty and Colleen and the gang from Doc Batson's in the house.
I thought I saw a Chevy Chase there for a minute.
It's amazing. Mm-hmm. People from Citrus County Speedway. But, you know, I picked the trifecta, man, on the race at the Governor's Cup.
No doubt.
Did I not pick him?
No doubt.
I went over there. I said, I took the lineup. I said, here's the top three. And I marked them. 1, 2, 3. There was number 61 and number 70.
Yeah, I put Cope and Showcat in mine.
I thought about Wayne Anderson for a minute. I said, no. We took Jimmy Cope. And
I hope Wayne catches that you really didn't pick him, but I did. I picked Wayne, Jimmy, and Showcat.
That was a great race.
So, it was a great race.
It was an awesome race.
Do you do that a lot when you go out to race and do the mini stock challenge series? Do you watch the other races because you get that opportunity because it's kind of low key for you?
Right.
You're not so intense that you're ripping off tires every 2 minutes or changing shocks or doing.
You're watching what's going on. You're watching how the track's handling for the late models, and that'll give you a little bit of a clue how much oil's going to be on the track when you get on.
You watch how the frost is settling on the windshield.
But a lot of
it's amazing.
A lot of action going out there Saturday night.
Yeah, there was. I talked to Don Nerone this afternoon.
I know, but
amazing.
I'm doing my best. I got my ears on.
That's okay. Why don't you turn that down so I don't have? Oh, is that
that's
me?
That's what I'm hearing. No, I'm hearing his computer. Oh, okay.
All right. Well, anyway. Anyway, I talked to Don Nerone this afternoon, and he said that the cars were going like 19 seconds at the end.
Without a bunch of hoopla, hand her your microphone, take one of those, because you talk louder, and you'll probably be fine.
Hoopla. Hoopla?
Hoopla.
Hoopla?
There you
hoopla?
Go. Oh, that sounds perfect.
Sounds fine.
Good.
Now you talk, Mary.
Okay.
No, Mary, you got to talk like you mean
it. All right.
Yeah, let's mean it.
I think that's it. She's so soft-spoken.
That's right. She's just being soft-spoken. So anyway, Don Nerone said that those cars in the super late model race were running 19 seconds instead of like about 18.2 or something like that, like what he expected.
Right.
He said the track just never was dry.
Test 1, 2, 3.
Right. It was.
From the frost, yeah.
I don't know if that had anything to do with those Goodyears. Hurts him back.
I just didn't. He hates it when I do this because he likes things to be methodical. But, Jack, look at the mixing unit. Look at all of the switches, and we're all still talking.
Ladies and gentlemen, they are having a problem.
Oh, it has been a nightmare. It's a nightmare, I'm telling you.
You turn on, it's like you walk in, you walk into the room, you turn all the lights off, and they stay on.
Okay.
But we're managing.
Nothing. I was trying to see if I could do something here to turn her up.
So we're not going to talk to John Birdie tonight, right?
You're going to get another tone here in a second.
We are
another guest in the room.
That's cool.
Because we're getting an echo from this sound card. It's awesome.
So you were talking to Don this afternoon?
You were talking to Don Marone, 19 seconds, wet racetrack.
Yeah.
Do late models and, do the late models and the sprint cars turn almost the same laps? Is that what you were talking about? And I was
no.
Okay.
Sprint
I didn't
cars.
Think so.
What are we talking about sprint cars for?
No.
I was just asking.
I think we should reboot.
You think we should turn it off altogether?
I think we should start over.
It probably wouldn't hurt.
It's too much.
Everybody out there could just
so all this stuff worked last night.
Go to the refrigerator.
Everything.
It all worked.
Oh look,
Jack's house.
Oh look, Dave Sizemore made it. Dave. It's a hell in a handbasket, baby. I'm talking. It has gone to crapola. It's a flash man from WQYK.
At least we didn't go up in flames like Bubba Montoya.
Oh, thanks.
You know who
happened to Bubba Montoya?
Look at the picture of Bubba Montoya's
Juan
car.
Pablo Montoya?
His NASCAR debut.
He got, and next that was done on purpose. Debut. That was done on purpose.
The flames?
The 12 thought he had been the one who messed him up earlier.
I got this out of the Hong Kong Daily Tribune.
Ryan
Formula
Newman.
Formula One star Juan Pablo Montoya's elite-level stock car debut.
Watch the race.
In a fiery crash.
But
when was the race?
Ryan,
Sunday.
Yeah, that was Sunday you slept through.
I was watching football, man.
Ryan Newman and his crew chief were called to the trailer because of the talk on the radio that everybody heard.
I was flipping channels and I heard somebody was sent to the trailer.
That was Ryan Newman. Ryan Newman and his crew chief both. And I imagine you'll see some fines they may already be up by today. I just haven't looked at anything because I haven't had a computer.
Yeah, usually they're up by Tuesday to let you know what they got fined.
Go ahead. What were you going to ask me?
Not a damn thing.
Okay. What were you going to tell me?
We now have to look at each other.
Man. I got all the filler over there. You got something to say?
Well, I was going to say, I remember we had talked to B.J. McLeod last week up on the Governor's Cup, and he was all excited. He was really excited, pumped up about Dick Anderson's car and he was going to drive, and he really felt that he had something. And we all commented afterwards that was the most enthusiasm we'd seen out of B.J. McLeod in a long time.
Okay.
And hey, Bill.
Okay, keep going. He's doing. We ain't got no Harvey no more, whatever his name was.
We ain't got nothing.
Henry.
His name was Harvey. But BJ was so excited. And then, so we go out there, and he goes around the track to qualify and goes into turn three, and his right front wheel got to the turn four wall before he did.
Not much before,
but it did. And he whacked the wall, destroyed the car.
Was that a broken hub on the
sheared it right off.
How much air can you push?
It was the hub came. It just
came completely off. Boy, that was a nasty mess.
It was almost hard to, because it happens fast, but, you're standing there watching. I was getting ready to take his pictures and come around turn four, and it was almost bizarre because the wheel was coming, and you couldn't quite get the idea in your head.
Somebody had mentioned that.
The camber was way off.
The
camber went way off.
His camber was way off. But I got to tell you, one of the things about that was when he went to the infield.
Somebody closes the doors and people out there are getting irritated.
Hey, Bill, pay attention.
I am paying attention.
Pay attention, Bill. When he went to the infield care center.
Oh, my pride.
Go ahead. Continue.
Pride. Yeah, the infield care center.
Turn your mic off, Bill.
Did you know that New Smyrna Speedway had an infield care center?
Yes, that red truck.
That's right.
Yeah.
Jeff Schofield was there almost immediately.
Then Tim Russell.
Yep.
And it was just like a line of them coming in.
Yeah.
It was pretty cool. It was very cool. It was a very good expletives
race.
Expletives when he came walking by us.
It was a great race because I watched that too, and it looked to me like a lot of people were giving a lot, not taking as much as they probably could have, and made some more mistakes. So throughout the race,
what
the entire evening.
Man?
Well,
talking about BJ's rep.
No, give and take.
Yes, we were.
I understand. And you kind of got through all the people saying hi to BJ, and I thought we were going on.
I was done. Were you done?
You really think that this young lady wants to be a part of this nonsense?
This is like the comedy club for audio
wizards. Jimmy Johnson finally won the cup.
Oh, we'll be,
Jimmy Johnson. You know what? You know what that means, right?
13 days earlier, they.
There was some woman in here that works here was like going all ecstatic over that.
You know what that means, right?
What's that mean?
Yeah, motorcycle racer wins the cup. They're coming up. That's what he was. He was a motocross racer.
Is that right?
First championship
I'm
was California.
The motocross. He's from California.
Yeah,
right?
He started on motorcycle.
You know, I saw him the first time at DeSoto Speedway when he came to race
ASA.
With the ASA.
Yes, sir.
Yep. He qualified like on the pole or next to the right on the pole.
Outside front row.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
That's right.
He didn't finish that well.
Nobody did. That was when remember the track was all tore up? Turn three?
That's when it almost became condos.
That's right.
Very close to becoming condos.
Well, that's because they used to cheat.
All right, so what are we going to do here tonight? What are we doing here?
We're going to talk for 2 hours,
okay,
number one.
First of all, Bill, we're going to go to commercial break, and Bill's going to do 2 minutes of commercial.
All right. But, well, you know what?
He
you know what?
It.
He can do
he
that.
Can do
we
can
thank
that.
You for
and
using.
I will not interrupt him at all.
Well, you don't have to go out for a smoke anymore. That's good. Rick Angie says, stop smoking, ladies and gentlemen.
What'd she
do? Oh, she left.
Where are you
we're
going?
Still talking to you.
You don't leave.
We got 2 hours, and you've only done 10 minutes.
We're just going to a break here.
They're
going
to have their
time.
Early.
It's too early for a break yet.
We can put 2 or 3 of them up here at a time.
Let's get shy.
We've done this before, believe us. Even
what? Mary.
Why?
Mary. You got to have that microphone.
You got to use the mic, Mary. But number one.
Nobody can fire us.
I got to ask you.
You got to turn it on.
You got to turn it on.
Turn the switch on.
But I got to ask you, and you got to keep it really close because that helps.
Where's the money?
Yeah, where's the money?
No, who gets the money? Who gets them the money?
Oh, my God. I just had a.
Who gets her the money,
I
Jack?
I just had a flashback to people in the corner just shooting me the bird or something. Hey, listen, I wanted
to
ask you.
It's got our name on it. Who gets her the money?
I don't know.
You just have to. We have to keep going. I just noticed that at the track the other night, you and one other person were the only ones around your car all night long. You didn't really make a whole lot of major changes I could see throughout the night. You're keeping it very low key and so forth. You're just out there, it seems, having a lot of fun, but yet you're still doing so well. And how do you do that with very little overhead or work at it, so to speak, in the sense that I guess during the week you're busting your butts, but on the weekend of the race it looked like you were pretty calm and taking it easy.
Well, he was working on the car. He just, you know, found a few things that we needed to change when we were out there Saturday night, and hopefully caught it before we went back out for the race. But I'm pretty much low-key, trying to make myself available for the fans and for people that are coming by the car and stuff like that. I don't work on the car like I used to because of my wrist and, you know, that motorcycle accident thing. But I don't crank on it anymore, so he does it all. So while he's working on the car and
he's
setting
who?
The car.
He?
Alan. Sorry. Crew. My crew chief and owner of the car.
You know
Alan
who
Mitchell.
Alan is, but we don't.
Yeah. So he's usually working on it, setting it up. We got loose after about 30 laps into the race, and we had the adjustments that we made during our pit stop on the 50 laps, but then about 30 more laps, we got loose again. So.
Yeah, but the car, it was loose, but it looked pretty smooth.
Looked
like you had a good run.
Right. And I usually try to keep it, you know, off the walls.
The exact same thing he's talking about, though. I watched very intently in 3 and 4 where I was standing a lot, and I watched your hands. And you would roll into the corner and stay rolled in and stay rolled in and then come out of the corner. There was not any kind of switching up or any of the things that I saw a few of the late model guys having to do at times.
Hey, what's that crazy show on TV what's that crazy show on TV where people get head starts depending on...
Pinks.
Yeah. You know, like in the mini stocks, you know, they got different...
mini stock pinks.
Different people spend different amounts of money on their motors, don't they?
Oh, yeah, lots of money on a mini stock.
I mean, I don't want to get you started on that.
Yeah, unfortunately, there was quite a few of them that were spending more money than we were and taking our money from
them.
Where's the money?
Who gets the money?
Mary, 5 years ago, how much did it cost to buy a motor, just a motor, for your car?
We could usually put a motor together, a fairly good motor, to run at Sunshine for under $1,000.
How much does it cost for a motor to be up front now in the Mini Stock Challenge Series?
$7,000 to $10,000.
Let's see.
How much is that a cylinder?
If you're running a 100 lap race at New Smyrna,
what do you pay per cylinder?
How many laps should you have been given, or like?
It's only $5,000 a cylinder,
like,
right?
Mm-hmm. 3/4 away. Where would you have started in relation for this to all be like evened up?
Ladies and gentlemen,
yeah, right.
Teddy, Nelson.
Well, let's see. You've got the Eagle Teddy. West cars that are all running up front.
Who's your Teddy? Who's your Teddy?
Okay. How old is your car, Mary?
Yeah, really.
Is that a Sunshine car?
Let's just say that car was one of the first cars that had a Short Track USA sticker on it.
No, then we've had a newer car since then, but my car's older than the majority of the top five cars are.
Yeah.
You know, Ronnie Wayne's got the newest one from Eagle's Nest. And then
whenever people go out and they go get a left-hander chassis or they get a whatever Rayburn dirt chassis or something, most of the mini stock chassis are built locally from
Eagle's
scratch,
Nest is the majority,
so to speak. You can't order one from XYZ.
Can.
Oh, you can?
Sure.
The entire, but it's just a kit. You still got to weld it together, right?
You know, I'm really not familiar with that. I know the 42. Jonathan and his dad and them, they got a pretty expensive car. I think it was like $20,000 for it. So
for a mini stock.
For a mini stock.
They can catch some big bass.
But mini stocks seem to be such a fun class. I mean, it seems to me that there's a lot of fun in there. There's a lot of people going crazy about a couple of $500-$700 difference in whatever they're running. But it seems like it's a class where you can load up very easily, go somewhere. You don't have to haul a 35-foot trailer. You don't have to take about 17 different chassis parts.
Yeah, but if you look at the Mini Stock Challenge Series, they're all hauling trailers, the big enclosed trailers. I mean,
Nobody drives an open trailer. That's true.
No.
That's true.
But,
and we were told last 2 weeks ago that that's because they don't want to be stolen.
What do you think about off-track betting and racetracks?
Oh, let's not even go there.
I got $500 on Mary. Oh.
No.
We're never going to stop hearing about you hitting that trifecta.
The best trifecta
you ever hit, and never got a dime for it.
I've been on this for years. I've always thought.
Yeah, but with 35 laps to go, I don't know when that hoopla with the three happened, but with the few laps to go, you must have been thinking you were kind of out of it. Then suddenly, bing bong, you get rid of the ones that you need to, and then yours are left.
Right. It's endurance.
That's what happens. That's racing.
That's it. Well, it's awesome though, Mary, to see you. How many years you've been racing? Come on, 14. So 14 years of racing, and locally, you started at Sunshine, I believe, didn't you?
Right. And we started at Sunshine.
So I mean, that's pretty awesome that you, even when Sunshine went away, you didn't throw your stuff away or sell it and so forth. I mean, a lot of people did.
We just moved around to different tracks.
Where'd you try to go first?
We went to DeSoto, and then we went to Auburndale. We stayed pretty much at Auburndale. We crashed really hard at DeSoto. We got spun out and didn't hit the wall, didn't hit anything, and then somebody come up from the rear and totally creamed the car. So we
That's
had to put a whole
before.
New front end on it. So after that, we'd only gone to DeSoto a couple times after that. But mostly we went to Auburndale.
How do you like Citrus?
I like it. I like Citrus. I like the people. A lot of the Sunshine drivers went to Citrus. It's nice going up there. We've done more racing there this year than we have in previous years just because of the Florida Mini Stock Challenge was there.
Well,
but I like it.
I know that there's a lot of folks that like to see you travel around and travel. And if I'm not, are you still the only female in the Mini Stock Challenge Series, or there's some others come and gone or what?
This year, yes. I think last year, one of the Larson young ladies was racing, but I don't think she finished its season out. But I try to sneak in and then, you know, sneak out. They don't like a woman passing them, so, you know, if I'm not as visible as normal people would think.
Well, you didn't paint your car pink.
No, never pink. You will never find any pink on my car. I like a lot of the tracks, a lot of the different tracks. And before I go anywhere, I just want to say thanks to Debbie and Todd for the great year that we had. Sorry to see them go, but, you know, they have other things that they want to do, and they put on a great series. I know for the Florida Mini Stock Challenge, for the Mini Stocks, and for the Sportsmen's, I just think they do a great job.
What kind of thoughts do you have on the new situation with it going to fast car, so to speak, or moving?
We'll just wait and see what happens. We'll kind of watch what's going to happen, and then we'll make a decision on what we're going to do.
But as it stands right now, most of the folks that are running in the Mini Stock Challenge Series are planning on being at the Mini Stock Challenge Series races that go to New Smyrna and so forth anyway, right?
Yeah, but, you know, I am not real happy about the same top five always finishing in the top five. I think they need to do something with that. Bring more of the cars back, make it more competitive for all the racers, not just those top five. And hopefully they'll do something about that. But
what
we'll
do they
have
need to
wait
do? What do they need to do?
I think they need to put a cap on all the money that they're putting in these motors.
Well, yeah, but if every time you won a race you had to add an extra 50 pounds or something.
Well, look at what happened. You get the top three that finished this weekend, and you got three that were disqualified. So they're taking my money from me because they're running illegal parts. Well, you know, one of them was disqualified twice this year. Hey, you get disqualified twice, you should have all your points taken away. That'll keep them from cheating.
Get her a job with Donna.
She needs to run the series right there.
Say what?
Get her a job with Narelle.
There you go. Mm-hmm.
Race director.
I just think it's unfair for the other drivers that aren't blatantly cheating.
Well, it's not good for competition with the same people.
No, and you've seen it this year. You know, when the Florida Mini Stock Challenge started, they had 40, 50 cars showing up. Now they've gotten down to where they're like 15. So there's something that they need to change there.
Well, we appreciate you taking time to drive down and talk to us.
Don't go far, though.
Yeah, don't go far. We'll probably beat up on you later. But we do appreciate
you're our guest,
it. Thanks so much.
You're our guest host.
That's right.
And do you have
you have to help us.
Do you have any sponsors and stuff we really need to hit so we don't miss somebody for you and take care of them? Or?
Real Racing USA, Short Track America on CarNet.
Aha, there
great
we go.
Sponsors.
Don't be worried. The only car in the entire country running Short Track America on it. We appreciate
now
it.
Now we're going to go to commercial break, and Bill Green is going to be the master of ceremonies for the 2 minutes of commercials that we don't that we normally play.
Oh, this commercial break brought to you by Dayton Andrews Dodge, the Dodge dealer that is worth the trip. Just take a drive across the bridge or around the bay, and you can make it to Dayton Andrews Dodge at 3401 South 22nd Street in St. Petersburg, Florida. Tell them Short Track America sent you. You'll save $500 on your deal and pass it on to young David Leonard, Greg Leonard's son, who's needing some help. And Dayton Andrews Dodge has agreed to add $500 to that David Leonard Foundation each time you buy a truck from Dayton Andrews Dodge. So do so each and every chance you get. Also like to thank the fine folks at Evergreen Land Development Construction Company, although they are called Evergreen Development Construction Company. We're glad to have them on board, and we appreciate everything they do for us. If you need your land cleared, or if you want to go all the way to putting together an entire system of roads, drainage, houses, you want to build something really big, give them a call, Evergreen Development Construction Company. Also want to thank the fine people at Keels and Wheels Magazine. They help make it happen, racing pages in Keels and Wheels each and every week. And, of course, the great and powerful Carnac.com. Carnac.com, the place to go for all your news and reviews of racing throughout the state of Florida and the Southeast. And we will do everything we can to make sure you get the news as it happens. And we were trying to do that Saturday night when we burned up the computer, and now I have to sit here and read off all the stuff myself. So, now that we've done that, back to the racing. No. Okay, Jack. Did the best I could. This is about as crazy as it gets.
Did you include Evergreen Development and Construction?
Did I include Evergreen Development and Construction? Thank you.
Did you catch Dayton Andrews Dodge?
Did I get Dayton Andrews Dodge? High five.
How about Keels and Wheels?
Thank you.
Damn. That's good, Bill.
Not bad. I even got Carnac.com.
Well, that's cool.
I didn't even think Short Track.
What about Snook River Grill?
I ain't thanked them yet. They ain't paid the bill.
Snook River Grill at
Snook River Grill, 2505 East Manatee Avenue, known as Highway 64. If you want to go to DeSoto Speedway, go the opposite direction. Anyway,
next week we got the fast trucks coming in here. They're going to bring in a whole bunch of trucks. Bobby Deal is either going to get it or he's not. This is going to be the test to see if this guy's really as good as he likes to talk. He is about promotion.
We will also have a very special visitor that I talked to on the phone yesterday. He couldn't make it for tonight. Plus, he didn't have all the T's crossed and the I's dotted in his program but he's moving into sprint car racing. A lot of you know him. His name,
DJ
Hosel. He will be here with Carr, I'm told.
Really?
He will try to bring the car if they've got the car completely graphic and ready.
When's this?
Next Tuesday night, after Thanksgiving, the Tuesday after Thanksgiving.
Are we going to be fixed?
We are going out tonight, Jack and I, and we're buying a computer.
Why don't we have Mr. Wayne Anderson come up here?
Come on, Wayne. Step on up. Bring the beer with you. You're going to need it.
We're going to get a phone call in a few minutes from somebody that he might know.
I mean, this has got to, that had to be about the most frustrating Governor's Cup the man had ever been in, because he was just driving away. Everybody got the message board lit up the next morning with he was so dominant and so forth. Yeah, but he didn't win the race, you know, that kind of thing. But it happens. How were you real upset, real bad, or did you just kind of take it in stride and go on?
Well, I tell you, I felt bad about the accident, but I felt good that I had my car dialed in. So we've been working all year, and it seemed like I kind of struggled all year. I was good but not great. And it seems like the last two or three races here, we've kind of got back on track and was running good.
Were you just having trouble with New Smyrna Speedway? Or was there, you know, most of the tracks you're just kind of struggling everywhere?
Really, Bill, if you look back, I usually win five or six Sunbelt races a year. And, I mean, I only won one. So it just goes to show you the level of competition's gotten better. You know, Schofield runs very good. You got Chiquette. You got a bunch of them that really run good. So, you know, I mean, I've run good all year, just not great.
Well, they knew that a lot of them knew that you were going to be the guy to watch out for. Go ahead, Rick.
Everybody else looked like they were just a tick off Saturday night, man. But your car was absolutely dialed in. I mean, every bit of that racetrack, it looked like it was just eating it up all the way.
Well, I tell you, that's my new car. I went after Nashville. I went up to Michigan and picked it up, and we left Michigan and went straight to Birmingham, Alabama, for their World Classic. And it unloaded fast, sat on the pole there, and I think I led, I don't know, 50, 60 laps. And then I want to say it's driver error. All of a sudden, I just went down the corner and got up in the wall, and I don't know if something broke, but I'm just going to blame it on me. But we come back, fixed the car, went to New Smyrna, and we were really good. Schofield was good. My dad's car with BJ in it was extremely good. And I felt like that was going to be a three-horse race right there. And then BJ had his problems in qualifying, and so
can we talk about that? Because you probably know more than we really know. The hub actually literally broke inside. I mean,
well, it broke all the spokes off. But you know, I drove that car at Lake City at the last Sunbelt race, and that morning of the race after practice, the right front hub was cracked on it, and so we didn't have another one. So we put it on the left front, and put the left front on the right front, and I ran that race. And I was nervous the whole race. So they got back, and there was three hubs cracked. So it was supposed to be like a, you know, manufacturer defect, that it was a new style hub out. So anyway, my dad sent them off, and they had sent him new ones. Them were magnesium ones that I'd ran at Lake City. These here were aluminum. So I think my dad felt in his mind that they had fixed the problem on the car. And I guess they didn't.
So why did you get sent to the rear?
You tell me.
I didn't get that.
I didn't either. And, you know, I felt like I had drove up under David Russell pretty far enough that he knew I was there. And there at the last minute, he just come down. And, I mean, I basically ran him off the racetrack to keep him hitting him. So I went to the rear, and you know, then it snowballs after that.
Yeah, I mean, when that wreck happened, you had to say, oh, damn.
Yeah. I just, you know, I seen Bresnahan having a little bit of a problem with him and Chiquette were battling pretty hard, and he went down in there. It looked like he was just about to lose it off of four, but I thought,
I turned it on,
you know, Mike doesn't really spin out ever. So, you know, I just went to the bottom, and next thing I know, he lost it, and I think Chiquette finished him off.
Real Racing USA, you're live on the air.
And it basically caught me.
Go ahead. Can you hear me? Nope, he hung up like he got the wrong number.
Okay, go ahead.
Well, I mean, I haven't got anything.
Yeah, you're on. Yeah.
Am I?
Yeah,
well,
just turn it back up, though.
But no, I just got caught up in an accident, and it's a shame. But I had a great race car, and I could leave there with my head held high knowing that I had a dominant race car.
No doubt, because, I mean, Schofield's car was good, but
I mean, you had at one time a full straightaway lead on him. And it just going it, where it looked like that car was really picking up speed was going into the turns. Nobody, I was stood down there in turn one. Nobody was, none of those cars looked as good as yours going
Real
into
Racing
the
USA,
turn.
You're live on the air. Hello? If you can't hear me, I can't hear you. So,
can you hear me? Yeah, I got you.
Okay, how's that? This could be really interesting because I think we're going to feedback pretty bad, but we'll try it.
Who we have on the line, Bill?
I don't know. Who do we have on the line? Real Racing USA, you're live on the air.
Yeah, talking to me now? Hello?
You there?
Yes, sir.
All right, we got the winner of the Governor's Cup, Jeff Schofield. Jeff, how you doing tonight, brother?
I'm doing good. And yourself?
I'm doing real good, man. It's got to feel good to finally get on that trophy.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's absolutely nice to put one of those races behind you. You know, we've accomplished just about everything, and that one's been kind of lingering out there for me.
Well, Jeff, I know that everybody was watching that one, and it seemed like you put yourself in the right position and held in there pretty good throughout the race. You had a great pit stop. And, of course, you even spoke about having to chase Wayne down, and you thought maybe you could if you could get another chance to make an adjustment or anything. But then in the end, it just kind of like all came to you.
Yeah, I mean, it was he wanted the race a little harder than I needed to at the start. You know, it's just that race is all about your equipment, you know, and he wanted to go. I mean, you know, he was he races for the money, obviously, and, you know, so we kind of we were talking about it on the radio, and he put the pressure on there, and there's no sense to wearing our stuff out, so we let him go. And, you know, Mike's all about, you know, he's about the trophy and about winning. He don't care about the money, so they told me just to lay off of it, save the equipment, and that's what we did, and it paid off in the long run for us.
Well, I tell you what, I'm glad you did. I think I led 88 laps, and that'll help fix our racer.
I didn't hear Wayne at all on that.
Twisted buttons.
Jeff, we got Wayne Anderson sitting here with us.
Well, can you hear me now, Jeff?
Yes, sir.
Well, I tell you what, I'm glad you let me go because I need to lead them laps. My racer got tore up pretty good, so I think there was 88 paid laps there that I led, so at least I felt like I made a little money when I left there.
Yeah, it wasn't a good evening for you, but yeah, like I told him on the front stretch, I mean, it was going to be me and you. I mean, down at the end, I mean, I don't think anybody else on our level over there. And, it just, you know, you took off hard as a rocket and there was no sense trying to race and wear our stuff out. So we, you know, set sail behind you. Nobody could run with us. And, you know, it would have been an interesting finish, but it was, you know, it's a shame that it had to happen to you guys. You made it easy on me, that's for sure. I ain't going to complain about it.
Well, you know, the biggest thing that usually gets me, and it gets me at the Snowball Derby, usually in the last 2 years, it's got me is pit stops. So I really felt like we were going to struggle on pit stops, and we ended up coming out first. So here I am thinking everything's going to fall right in place. I'm third. You know, two cars already got 30, 40 laps on their tires in front of me, and doggone if I don't get tangled up with one of them, have to go to the rear. And basically I felt like I handed it to you, you know, but I felt like at the end of the race we would have been pretty good. But nonetheless, y'all, you know, when it's your year, and it just everything kind of fell your way, and, you know, congratulations.
Well, yeah, I appreciate it. And like you said, I mean, when it's your turn, and it's hard to compete. You know, it's all 90% of it's luck. You know that. I mean, you've been in racing forever, so I mean, you can only do so much behind the wheel of the car. If luck ain't on your side, I mean, obviously, like you said, you had the fast car. You came out two slow cars in front of you, and just, you know, wasn't your time. You know, something ended up happening to you, and then I guess what Chiquette and Bresenham got together, and you just happened to be, you know, at the wrong place at the wrong time for you.
Well, it's got to make you feel pretty good too. Bill, I don't think that Jeff won this whole thing with Mike's cars. I mean, he drove his own cars for a couple races, and I think he won one with it. So,
yep.
You know, Jeff, it's got to feel pretty good that at least you did it in your own equipment and in Mike's equipment.
Yeah, I mean, like me and you had talked. I mean, you know, when I first started driving with Mike, we had a lot of pressure put on us as a team and myself. And when we separated, it was nice to get my own equipment and just proved to everybody that, hey, you know, I can still do it on my own, you know, because we was winning beforehand. And then, it kind of like when we regroup this time, it's kind of like the pressure's off because, you know, I know what we're capable of doing. They know what we're capable of doing. And, you know, try to have a little more fun and be a little more, like you said, I think me and you had talked, you know, have a little more ease, a little less pressure, and, a little more communication with everybody instead of being so wound up because of the pressure on it. So a little more fun this time.
What's it feel like for you guys? Both of you guys have your name on that trophy. What's that like?
Shit, I'm just glad to join the club. I mean, when you get up there, you know, with Wayne and Trickle and all them guys, you know, just to be affiliated with some of them guys, you know, I mean, that's what I've always liked. Wayne, I mean, we've had our ins and outs and our battles, but at the end of it, you know, I'm always the one to sit there and say, hey, you know, I'm just glad to be either running behind you or beating you or running with you or just being in the same level. So, you know, I mean, I'm not the first, I'm the first person never to say I'm better than Wayne Anderson, because I've chased Wayne and Dick, you know, since I started racing. You know, Dick and Wayne's both helped me start racing, and, you know, it's a blast to even get to sit there and run with them guys, you know, because when you know you're running with the Andersons, you know you're doing something around the state of Florida for sure.
What was it like the very first time that you beat both of them in the same race?
I don't know if I've ever actually, you say beat them, I think me and Wayne probably have one good race together where we're actually, you know, I think, you know, as far as me actually beating him, I think I passed him one time at New Smyrna and beat him. But, I mean, you know, it's one of them nail biters. You know, it's like when I finally got by Wayne, it's like, you know, wow, I just passed Wayne. And, I mean, even on the radio, they're like, hey, you just passed the best guy in Florida. And I believe it was about a year ago. So, you know, it's like it kind of took that pressure off. You know, it's like, wow, you know, I'm actually up here now. I can actually run with these guys. And, you know, because, you know, everybody, you say Wayne, everybody knows who you're talking about. You know, you start naming other people. It's like, yeah, I've seen him here over there. But, you know, it's like, you know, the first time I ever ran a late model, and I actually was on the same lead lap as Wayne and Dick. And it's just, you know, it was a good accomplishment. So, I mean, it's something to look forward to. You know, like I said, it's a little bit of weight off the chest knowing that I can at least run with them now.
Can I get you two guys to talk a little bit about the young guns coming up, though, the younger guys that are there that are, you know, beating and banging with you and sometimes making the mistakes and having to learn the hard way? What kind of things would you tell them? What kind of ideas would you give them to make it a little bit easier on them to get into that learning curve and figure out how to run these super late models around Florida?
I'll leave that to Wayne, because, hell, I'm still learning. So I think I've got most of my rookie mistakes out of the way too much from watching and learning and crashing. But I think Wayne's probably got a little better perspective on that ideal than I do.
Well, the biggest thing is it's just time. I mean, it's just time behind the wheel. I mean, there's nothing, you know, you can talk to your blue in your face to some of them and different, you know, and give them different scenarios, but it's, I think any racer will tell you, it's just time. The longer they're in, you know, anybody driving a mini stock or a hobby car or whatever, they're better after a year than they were when they started. I mean, it's just time, you know, it's timing. You don't realize how quick wrecks happen in front of you. And, I think I can remember the first wreck I got in. I didn't even have a chance to close my eyes. I was already in it. So, I mean, there's nothing you can really say or do. But, you know, Jeff, I appreciate all the compliments and everything. But, you know, the biggest thing is this year has been a year where I think that Jeff and I myself have both seen newcomers coming in. You know, look at last year. Look at Jason Boyd. He ended up winning the championship last year. But, I mean, he's kind of young. He did well in the limiteds, but he didn't have much time in the late model. Look at Chiquette. I think he's only on his third year, maybe fourth year. I mean, he's bounced off everybody the first year.
That's right.
And this year, I mean, he looked to prove himself as a real professional. You know, I mean, I've heard a lot of people talk about him running at Bradenton and, you know, how he's passed people on the outside, inside. And,
well, he came off that dirt, you know, where he's just...
Well, they're used to, on dirt, you're used to getting body slammed and jacked up. But, no, I mean, there's young guns coming in there, and there always will be. The biggest thing that I see is some of the bigger names kind of leaving, you know, like, people like my dad that raced, you know, around the state for, you know, the last 15, 20 years, you don't see him behind the wheel much anymore.
And that was another thing I wanted to talk about, because the Copes are getting out of here.
You don't see Jimmy that much. You don't
Dave
see Fletcher's
Dave Fletcher
gone, that much.
And so forth.
You know,
I mean,
so it's just what's basically coming here is the race is still the same. It's just different names now.
Is there anything like when you watch some of these younger kids and even not Jeff and the guys that are actually out there running good, but some of the really young kids coming in, can you watch these guys and get a feel for, like, whether you think they got it or not? Or is that something you just, like you said, time has to go by?
Well, the biggest thing that I see is most of the young kids have got faster race cars than they got brains. I mean, that's just the bottom line. I mean, you know.
Yeah, I think you agree there, Jeff.
Really
good race cars. And, you know.
I think one of them turned you around a little bit up at Citrus.
Oh, here we go.
That was in a crate motor car.
Oh,
yeah.
It was in a crate.
Yeah, I know what you're saying. But yeah. But basically what it is the equipment is before, back in the earlier years, you had to build your equipment, and what you had is, you know, you couldn't buy it. Now it can all be bought. And, you know, and that's what I see now is everybody, you know, everybody's got good race cars, and it makes a big difference.
Do you two guys think there should be a logical progression that you can't just go out at 18 years of age and have daddy buy you a late model, that you should have to run some limited late model or some street stock to get the limited late model or do some kind of progression to get the idea of what's going on?
I can't basically talk about that because I started out in the late model. But that's all I knew. I mean, let's be honest with you. I was building a street stock, and I helped my dad since I was 12 to when I was 16. I didn't know nothing about street stock, but I knew more about a late model. So, I mean, you can't say that, and you can't knock these kids that are getting the stuff that's handed to them.
BJ started right late models.
Yeah, I mean, no, you can't really change that. But what I see is you see a lot of good race cars, a lot of good equipment now, and it's easily bought. And, you know, it's just going to take the younger, you know, what you all want to call kids, time. And you know, I just feel like I can remember just like it was yesterday when I started. So everybody's calling me a veteran now, and I don't know. It just don't seem like I've been racing that long.
We're not calling you a grizzled old veteran yet.
That's my dad.
Yeah, there you go. So what about Crate? Where are you at with Crate? The Crate late model deal.
I just think I like the Crate late models mainly because they're affordable. I mean, I like that.
Jeff, do you plan on running any Crate motors or?
I don't really plan on it. I mean, I can't say yay or nay. I mean, we talked about running the Snowflake up there with a Crate motor, but it's just, they say it's a Crate motor, but there are already people breaking into them, breaking the seals and stuff. So it's, it is what it is. It's racing. You know, you're not cheating until you get caught, but they're already cheating. So it's kind of not a Crate motor anymore.
Jeff, refresh my memory. How old are you?
28.
Do you feel like that you've gotten trapped in that issue of the lost generation of racers where they suddenly NASCAR is out looking for 18-year-olds and they kind of jumped right by you?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, I feel like, you know, I mean, I got a business that I run myself, and it's, I can't put forth all the time and effort that I think you need to, you know, do the gong shows and all that. And I think, you know, 5 years ago, you know, maybe it was my opportunity if I was going to do anything. But, you know, it's, I love racing for what it is. What happens, happens. And, we just go week to week and do the best we can do. And don't, you know, you can't worry about what could have been and what should have been or what could be. So we just kind of go day for day and have fun.
Same for you, Wayne. I mean, you feel like, you know, that kind of went. They were looking at you. Usually had to be in the 30s, and you could get a chance, and then suddenly they went 18. You need an 18-year-old.
I just feel like there's going to be a time when that's going to roll back around. I think the young kids are going to bite, basically in cup. I think there's a certain point that they look for the young kids, but there's going to be a line there that they want a veteran too. So, mm-hmm.
You want somebody who can win.
I went and did 6 or 7 cup events last year, and made one, but it's just so hard. But it's all about equipment, and like I was telling you now, it's easily bought, and that's all I see with late model racing around here. And getting back to the Crate motor thing, I just think that it's very affordable for the short tracks. I think when you talk Citrus, you talk Ocala, Auburndale, Bronson, I think a Crate motor is exceptionally well for them. But when you get to Lakeland, New Smyrna, Lake City, the racing ain't going to be quite as good because it's just they're a little boring.
Follow the leader kind of race.
The last thing I wanted to make sure I ask you two guys was, why have you not gone to a traveling series like a Hooters or even a National Late Model Series or some other traveling series where you get to get out of the state a little more maybe and do those kind of things? Is it all about the money?
I think Wayne has.
Wayne's done that a couple years.
But not on the basis that I thought you might.
I'm going to tell you, the biggest problem that I have is help.
Yep.
And you know, I can't get people that can leave and go out of town for 4 or 5 days at a time. And, I mean, I'd love to run Hooters, but I don't have the resources here. You know, now they're just starting, Bill, to go to five-star bodies, I think.
Yes.
You know, I don't have somebody who knows how to work an English wheel down here in Wildwood, Florida. You know, I mean, I just don't have that. And to try to get somebody and bring them in, they feel like anybody you try to get, they feel like they have to work in Charlotte.
And crew chiefs are getting big bucks in Hooters.
Oh, more than that.
I mean,
yeah.
Crew chiefs are hard to find in our late model racing.
Right.
You know, the whole thing is, for me, I would love to do a lot more racing. I just don't have the help.
Is that the same for you, Jeff?
Yeah, I mean, I agree with him because, I mean, you know, at our level, I mean, you know, we do basically a lot of it for fun. You know, Mike flips our bill on our side of the deal now, and it's just, you know, like Wayne was saying, I mean, you know, you get 4 or 5 friends of yours, they all get together and go, but they all got jobs Monday through Friday. So, you know, for them to leave on a Friday morning to go, to even like when we go up here to the Snowball Derby, you know, I mean, everybody's taking their vacations, you know, so they're all doing it out of courtesy and because they love racing. But you go do that, you know, 15 times through the year, you know, you're going to be employing them because they're all going to be fired. So it is kind of hard.
Well, I tell you, Bill, I can remember when I was, you know, 14, 15, I would just want to hop in the truck and go with somebody. I mean, I went off with Gary Ballou and a bunch of them when they raced and went, and I just wanted to go. I ask anybody to hop in the truck and to go, they want to know what they're going to get paid.
Yep,
and that's that's one of the biggest downfalls of this sport right now.
Quit working for cheeseburgers, huh?
Exactly. Everybody wants to know what they're going to get paid. And
well, you know, and you back that up, that goes to them, the younger group, that the people's got more money, to where, you know, you got, you know, you can name six crews that were down there at New Smyrna, and every one of them, you know, they're paying their guys $150 a night to come down there and just change tires for a regular, you know, 200 lapper. And it's just, it's ridiculous because you can't get the help anymore because they're paying them. So it's bad all the way around.
So do you guys think it's the team owners that are paying these guys that are ruining this part of the sport?
I can't sit here and tell you that's the problem. I just think that just the cost of everything now is so expensive. And I guess what basically it boils down to is somebody takes off work. They can't afford, you know, the cost of living now is so high. They can't afford to take off work and lose their pay to go help you. They got to at least have that back. So, I mean, it's understandable. Don't get me wrong on this. I don't blame them for wanting to get paid. But I can remember when I wasn't getting paid to go do it and wanted to go just for the joy of it. But, you know, I had a big sponsor like Porter Cable came in, I started paying my guys. Well, then when I lost the sponsor, them guys are still looking to get paid, and I'm
where's
like, hey, no money here no more.
Yeah,
you
where's
know?
The check?
It's tough, and I still have, you know, some guys that go with me, and they don't want nothing. And when we do good, I give them all money. But that's the biggest, hardest thing for me right now is to go out of state, is I don't have anybody that I can take with me and be gone 4 or 5 days at a time that can go for nothing.
Absolutely. Well, before we get too far into this, Jeff, buddy, we appreciate you taking time to talk to us, and we also want to say congratulations, man. I mean, Governor's Cup, it's a biggie.
Cup and Sun Belt Championship.
Yeah,
and
no
triple
doubt.
And Florida Triple Crown.
And Triple Crown winner.
Wow.
So, yeah, we had a great year. I mean, we, you know, like Wayne was saying, I mean, when it's your turn, it's your turn. I mean, we just really couldn't do no wrong. I mean, I caused a few problems myself and, you know, finally got my act back straight and rebounded. And, you know, I mean, everybody, you know, it's a team deal. You know, my whole team helped me out. And, you know, everybody, you know, me and Wayne's got a pretty good policy on the track. I mean, he lets me go, I let him go. I mean, we know our turn's coming back. And 90% of the people was like that. So, you know, I got to thank all them guys that ran me clean to let me get where I was at, that's for sure. So.
Well, now, you got some sponsors to take care of. And also, I want to make sure that you let everybody know that your crew chief or your manager guy said you guys were going to run in 2007 and win every championship that you could get your late model to. Is that not correct?
That's easy for them to say, isn't it? Well, I'm sure Wayne's been in that shoes before.
They did say it, Jeff.
They said they're going to win everything they ran.
That's the thrill of the moment of winning the Governor's Cup right there.
Yeah, so it's, hey, well, you know, I'm going to have fun every week regardless if we win or lose. I mean, that's the main goal is make sure everybody, you know, has fun and, you know, hey, you're not going to win them all. I mean, everybody knows that. But if we can go out and do half as good as we did this year, next year, I'd be happy. So yeah. I'm not going to complain with that.
Yeah, but you got some great sponsors going on, man.
Yeah, I mean, we got, you know, Mike Linder, the Guaranteed Concrete. I mean, he's the main backing. I got TNS Enterprises. It's been with me for several years now as myself. And then Haines City Car Care, which is the team manager. And we got a few, you know, little associates. I mean, everybody in racing has helped me. Penske, Simpson, you know, I got a few. Keep helping out here, you know, in racing, everything helps. So, you know, if I'm forgetting somebody, I definitely got to include them. But it's amazing. You start doing a little good, though, everybody kind of jumps on the bandwagon and helps you out a little bit. And so as long as we can keep that up, I think we'll be all right.
Yeah, I appreciate it, man. Thanks so much. We're going to let you go so we can get on down the road with some more Real Racing USA. But anytime, you're welcome right here.
No problem. Y'all have a good evening. Appreciate talking to you guys.
Thanks a lot, Jeff.
Thanks, Jeff.
All right, buddy. Bye.
Jeff Schofield, ladies and gentlemen, the 2006 Governor's Cup.
And Bill, normally at this time we would take a break, but we're going to let you off
right
the hook. We'll do post-production.
We'll go right on through that. I can add commercials all week long.
Yeah, we'll do that later. And we just this is Citrus County Speedway night. And the
phone Real Racing USA, you're on the air. Get away from your computer. Real Racing USA, you're on the air. Who is it?
Hey, this is Steve from Pensacola.
Hey, Steve from Pensacola.
What's up?
Oh, not a whole lot. Hey, just calling to wish Wayne and Jeff their good luck at the Snowball Derby this weekend. Look forward to having them up for the race.
Well, we appreciate you making a call. Wayne, you got a fan on the
He knows who I am.
No, Steve calls. He every race that Pensacola has, you can count on Steve calling you. And I've talked to several other racers that Steve calls. So it's just a tribute to how hard they work at Five Flags to try to prepare for the snowball and get you to come up for all the blizzard races. So, Steve, it was good hearing from you, and I'll see you next week, buddy.
Okay, man. Good luck.
We're going to talk to Tim Bryan a little bit later tonight.
Yeah, Tim's actually supposed to be here. But, Steve, what's the coolest part about the Snowball Derby? What is it you like about that race in particular?
It's just the atmosphere. You pull in, and there's campers everywhere. It's like what Nextel Cup used to be. You know, you know everybody, and it's just packed to the rafters. There's, you know, 140 late models entered between the two races, and it's just exciting, especially somebody like me who's been, you know, going to, you know, late model racing since I was in diapers. I watched Wayne's dad run, and he's one of my heroes. I've told Wayne that a lot of times, but it's just the whole atmosphere. I mean, the camping, the racing, the just everything about it.
Well, we appreciate you for making the call, man. Have a good one.
Okay, take care.
All right, Steve from Pensacola. You like that?
So we were at
North Florida.
Yeah,
North Florida.
We're getting up.
We're at back down to South Florida. Where it's really, really warm, 55 degrees.
It's warm here. It's warmer than it was in New Smyrna.
We have Don Critty here with us. He's the general manager of Citrus County Speedway. And since this is
who?
This is Don Critty from Critter. The general manager of
the whole world knows him as Critter.
Well, you can do whatever you want. But there's a reason why he brought this veteran.
Why was that, Critter? Why did you
not grizzled veteran?
Not grizzled veteran.
And make sure you
veteran Wayne Anderson. There's a reason why Wayne Anderson's here with Don Critty. What is that all about?
Well, we brought Wayne with us. You know, being it was a Citrus County Speedway evening, we brought him with us to kind of help us get the track out there, let everybody know where Wayne is at anymore. He's been hanging out at Citrus County Speedway for years. He's starting to race regular there, and we appreciate having Wayne.
Well, I tell you, you just got to understand, you know, Jack, that is the best little short track besides Ocala Speedway in the state of Florida. I mean, you go there, it's prompt, on time, and you're out of there by 11 o'clock. So, you know.
And the pits are packed.
Pits are packed, stands are packed. And let me tell you something, Citrus gets its own following. They're there. Rain or shine, it's the same people you'll see in the stands week after week, and it's just a tribute to how hard it, you know, basically Colleen's worked, Critter's worked, everybody's worked to make that place what it is, and it's really turned out really nice, and the place is always kept up nice, and you know, I live 15 minutes from that place, and my mom and dad actually owned that place in the early 80s, so that place has a little following to me. My mom and dad actually were the first ones that had paved it in the early 80s. And Carroll Contracting paved that. Dave Scarborough used to drive.
Daddy win it in a bet?
He basically moved from Florida, from South Florida. He moved up here and he wanted to become a racetrack owner. Next thing you know, once he had it for a couple of years, he decided he wanted to go back racing. So, I don't much blame him, but
imagine that.
Really, people don't.
Did you know that?
Talked to Dick.
I thought he had owned a track.
How long did he own it, Wayne?
Yeah.
How long did he own it?
I think, he didn't really own it. Basically,
right.
I think he had it from 80 to 82.
Yeah.
He paved it.
Paved it the first time, and then I think Billy Hooker come in later on and paved it. So, but no,
that's amazing.
It's a great short track. You just can't believe how you can go there and get out of there at a decent hour. And that's one of the main things that fans look for today is to be able to get out of there.
One
of the things I noticed in the few times I've been up to Citrus, it's the atmosphere there. I mean, it's got a good atmosphere. It's hardcore racing up there. It's short track racing, but the fans are awesome.
It's Larry Mack. Larry Mack knows everybody's grandson race.
And he didn't tell us that Dickie owned that track.
No, but we've said before that it's like the asphalt equivalent of East Bay.
Yep.
I would say that's it.
And that's what when you talked about, you know, the fans will come out and sit in the rain. We've talked about many a track owner, and they all say they got 500 to 700 that'll just always show up, no matter what's going on.
Jack,
you guys have got about 1,000.
Stop and think about this now.
Awesome.
Go back through the course of this year at all the Sunbelt races. How many cars do we have? What's the most car count we've had at a Sunbelt race in 2006?
Citrus 34.
The Governor's Cup was the one that I know about.
That's what I feel the same way. What, 30 cars?
Yeah.
On an average basis, they get 24 to 26 cars at Citrus County Speedway.
Right.
that's just in late models.
Right. Oh, no doubt.
You know,
no
and
doubt.
So
they
and
do pretty
the
good even
Saturday
when they're
night.
Up against a triple crown.
You know, and you know, it's a shame. You know, and that's a bad deal. Really, I mean, a lot of heat got put on Citrus over that. But
yeah,
it really
leave it to Bill to bring up this stuff.
Hey,
if you look at the names that were at that race compared to what ran the triple crown. Citrus has got their own late model class.
Yeah, there's most of them are close. They're local.
I don't know. I might have been the only one.
And it's super late
that
models
went
we're
to
talking
the,
about.
The third leg of the Triple Crown. And I didn't go to Bradenton. I'll be honest with you. One of the biggest reasons why I didn't go to Bradenton, because if you went to Bradenton, you needed to run all three nights. I didn't go to Bradenton simply because we had to flip the Hoosiers. And there's nothing wrong with that. I understand why John has to do that down there at Bradenton. But what I'm saying, I didn't want to go down there and have to buy two or three sets of Hoosiers. Be there on Thursday night to practice. If you want to be on top of your game, you got to be there the night before.
You were going to spend some serious tire money.
I just felt like for me to go 15 minutes from my house on Saturday night for twin 50s, for 100 laps, four tires, race for $3,000. That's what we race for at a Sunbelt race. Then, if I had anything left, I could go on Sunday to Ocala 30 minutes from my house. So for me, who races for a living, that was the most logical scenario for me.
Yeah, it's coming out of your pocket.
Thank you. And
no
you
doubt.
Heard it here first.
A logical scenario. And I feel like Citrus took a hard rap for that from the Sunbelt people, Don Lerone or whatever. And I just don't think if they really stood back and looked at it, nobody was trying to hurt nobody there, but it ended up being a bad situation.
I don't know if you saw it or not. I wrote a little article about
how many
preliminary thing about coming up on the owners meeting, and I went through and studied, and I mentioned this in the thing I wrote it, how many drivers went to how many of those races. There was only six drivers that went to all three Triple Crown races. There was only 10 drivers.
And Jeff Sloan didn't even go to any other ones. He won the first one.
And there was only 10 drivers who went, or 9 drivers who went to two races.
Let me explain to you why I didn't go to all three, and maybe it'll clarify it a little better. If I would have went to Bradenton and done well, went to Bronson and done well, and I did do well at Ocala on Sunday, I would have really been real close to the points lead and may have possibly had a chance at winning the Sunbelt points this past weekend. Okay. If I got caught up in a wreck, let's say I won it. Right. I'd have more likely had a good shot at winning them points.
Right.
But with what I plan on doing next year, doing some ARCA stuff, skipping off and doing some other races, if you win the points for Fast Car Sunbelt Championship, you get two tires and free entry at every race. Okay? If you win a Triple Crown, I don't know how it is now, but it was you got two tires at every race. But you can only get two tires. In other words, the Sunbelt Series will only let you have two tires, so I'd have lost that. At least two tires I would have lost. If you miss a race, you lose all that. So, for me,
if you win the points championship, you get two tires and free entry. But if you don't go to one race,
you lose it.
You lose it all.
For the rest of the season.
That's the way Steve Dorer explained it to me.
So they trap you in pretty much. So,
exactly. But for me, I plan on doing some other stuff next year, and I was going to miss that anyway. That's why I didn't go to Bradenton. And it wasn't so much.
You would have been winning a prize you couldn't collect.
Exactly.
And
I won this. See, Jeff just did this year, 2006. He won the Triple Crown, won the points, championship.
Yeah, he can't.
And the Governor's
race
Cup. I did that in 2003. I won the points, the Triple Crown, and the championship, but I could only collect two tires the following year. Couldn't collect four. They only let you have two, which is, I think, is very, undue. If I won them, I deserved it. I earned it.
That's right.
Why should I lose it?
And those are the little things that the driver
gets
driven crazy about.
Same way for me this year. Or last year, I missed a race towards the end. I think I went to Montgomery's last all-pro race last year. I missed a race to Orlando, lost my tire deal for the rest of the year. So, it's something that I earned. I won. I felt like I should have to the end of the year. But the way they set that up is for you to be that's just Sunbelt basically trying to have that will know that they'll have their driver every week.
Come on, Wayne. Right.
Every
their
race.
Champion,
every
yeah.
week,
it irritates
every race.
The shit out of you, Wayne.
But for me who races for a living, yeah, it does. But, but nonetheless, I just wanted to clarify that a little bit. But Citrus County Speedway had twin 50s on Saturday night of the Triple Crown. And I basically went out there. I won one, ran second one, and set fast time, took home $3,150, I think.
On four tires.
On four tires. Now, I ran second. If I'd happened to have won that race, I'd have made another $1,100. Where can you go 15 minutes from your house and make almost $4,000?
If you don't mind telling us, the next night at Ocala, how did you do and how much did you spend? How much did you win?
Well, I bought four tires, went in there. I won the race, and I think I got hard charger. I made the same money. Believe it or not, I made exactly the same money.
$6,000 weekend.
So it was a great weekend.
Yeah.
Don, to what?
I didn't have to race on Friday night.
To what do you attribute the strong? Well, you have the strongest super late model field of any track in the state on a regular Saturday night deal.
Yes, sir.
What do you attribute that to?
I really don't know what to attribute it to. The only thing I can say is I try to treat all the drivers the same that come in the gates at Citrus County Speedway. It doesn't matter to me if you're in a Thunderstock or you're in a late model. I try to treat everybody the same, and a lot of the drivers do appreciate that, and we do try to treat everybody fairly, and the drivers like that, you know. And the biggest thing I think that a lot of the drivers really like, I don't push things down their throat. I don't make them buy tires. I don't make them buy gasoline. You know, we try to make it where it's an affordable sport at the track.
But not only that, that's a racy racetrack. There's two lanes there. There's an outside. I mean, a lot of tracks now have fallen into a single groove racetrack.
We know places, guys who are scared to go there for that reason.
But you know, you go to Citrus, and there's two grooves, and there absolutely is two grooves. You can start 12th and win that race.
Wayne, we have somebody on the line. You know him probably. He's Scott McAllister from McAllister Motorsports Management. He'd like to ask
Scott
you a question.
Scott Hawkins.
There you go. That'll help.
Hey, how you guys doing tonight?
Doing great, Scotty.
Hey, good to hear from you guys. Hey, I just want to ask Wayne. I heard him say that he was going to run some ARCA races, and I just got a chance to tune in. I wanted to see if he had any specific races lined up and what tracks he was planning on going to next year.
Well, biggest thing, Scott, is I had two cup cars that I was going to try to do some start and park this past year and the Nextel Cup, which they're not going to be any good anymore because they went to the car tomorrow.
Right.
So basically what I got now is two ARCA cars. So, we got Lakeland coming up, which is going to be close to home. And then I think the guy that owns my cars is right there in the Villages in Sumter County there. They want to do something kind of close. They like Nashville. So I know I'm going to do Nashville, Lakeland. And besides that, I don't really know. I can't.
Well, there's some great tracks to go to, that's for sure. You'll have a good shot of doing really well there.
Yeah, it seems like the short track racers seem to do well at Nashville. I mean, look at Goslin. Every
yeah,
time
no
he goes
doubt.
There, he's got a good opportunity winning.
Got a house full of guitars.
Guitars,
yeah.
Guitars.
Yeah, I said last time I was over there, his kids were playing them.
Yeah. So.
Well, that's good, man. I'm glad to hear, Wayne, that you have stuff lined up in the ARCA series. I think you'll do good there. You're definitely my pick for the Snowball Derby coming up. And hear from you guys, and I will have to reiterate what you guys are talking about Citrus County. It is a fantastic place to go watch a race, especially if you're on the pit side. It's a great place to go over there, and you guys are right on the nose when you say how great of a place Citrus County Speedway is. I know that they will be getting a lot of my business, and I don't mind paying money to go over there and watch a great race.
Yeah, Critter says checks in the mail. Thanks.
No, it's the truth. My friend Brad Atkins turned me on to that place, to be honest with you, man. And, you know, you get to see some great racers over there. First of all, like you said, Wayne's going over there. Mike Bresnahan's always over there. There's some good old-school drivers over there, and that's the cool thing about going to Citrus County. Plus, you're right on top of the action.
And it's time. It's almost time for you to get back to work, too.
Man, you ain't kidding. I swear to you, it's nonstop. I don't like it anymore.
That's what you get for making commercials at work.
I don't like that work and stuff. I need to get back to racing. But
there you go.
But, yeah, Wayne, that is good to hear for 2007, and we'll be sure to look for you out there in the ARCA series. And perhaps you can make your way after Nashville. Kentucky's a great place. I think you do good there and a couple other things. But, yeah, ARCA cars are going to be a dime a dozen here in just a little bit. So, make hay while you can. And once again, we look forward to seeing you out there.
Hey, Scott, thanks for listening, man. We're glad to know that the other media folks in Florida are listening to us.
Oh, yeah, man. We listen to you up here in North Central Florida, as we call it, down at the road from Wayne's house, as a matter of fact, here in Ocala. So, you know, we make sure to put the word out. And you got to get down that way to Snook River Grill pretty soon and visit with you guys. to face. But until then, hey, this is the next best thing.
Thanks, buddy. We'll talk to you later.
Sounds good.
Scott McAllister from McAllister Motorsports Management.
Why did you pay him to call, make that call, Don?
I didn't pay him a dime. It's great to hear that, though. I enjoy hearing that out of people because most of the time all I get to hear is the complaints, you know. It's good to hear that from some outsiders.
What's been the latest thing that people have actually talked about at Citrix? Because you guys have been doing so much to fix the place up, make it better. What could possibly be wrong?
The track that's been there, by the way, for over 50 years.
Yes, sir. Yep. This will be season number 52.
And you're only outlasted by Auburndale and Ocala.
Really?
Are the only two that have been around longer?
We've made a lot of changes. We've upgraded restrooms. We've put in a retaining wall in turn one and two for safety issues. We had a modified run wide open off of turn one day and came real close to injury.
We were standing on that hill one night when a late model hit it.
We had one go wide open, and it went over, and it about got some people, and that put the fear of God into me. So we went ahead and we put that wall in. A lot of the racers don't care too much for the wall because it's flipped a few over. It's got a little radius down at the bottom,
right.
So it has turned them over.
It's the old highway kind of wall.
Yep. But I looked at it this way, you know, and I've tried to explain to the drivers, you know, guys, I know it's bad that your car gets tore up, but I'd rather have your car get tore up than somebody get killed at the speedway.
Yeah, and you were one of the last tracks, I believe, that have kind of totally enclosed yourself now because you could run off in the dirt there for a while. I mean,
right.
It used to be years ago in the 60s, Wayne can attest, there used to be some tracks you'd go through the trees, for God's sakes.
Lake City was till
Bronson.
Bronson. Yes, Doc Batson can probably attest to.
Yeah, so I mean.
Doc went off, didn't he?
I don't know, but Arthur Conquest was the last serious one that went off there.
But you know, for me that races for a living, you go to Citrus and they pay extremely well. Run a 35 lapper for $1,200. Where else can you do that? You know, New Smyrna, I mean, they have them Bright House 50s, which I would love to go attend. And this so happens they fall about the same night that Citrus runs late models, but it's $1,200 for 50 laps over there. So it just goes to show you that, you know, not only is it a good little racetrack to go to, they pay well, too. They pay well on back for all the, you know, I think that's why you see a lot of.
Do you ever break it down that far, Wayne? Do you go look and say, okay, this guy's running 100, this guy's running a 50? If you break it down to the amount of money you could actually win per lap or something, I mean, how do you look at it? How do you figure out?
I don't get that in depth, but it's enough to know that I feel like I can go there and take a good opportunity of running in the top five, and their top five pays extremely well. So, you know, I mean, that's just, like I told you, there's several reasons that Citrus does well, and the pay is just one, the atmosphere is two, another one is being able to race on that racetrack. It's a racy place, and it's a clean facility, and, you know, Critter handles a lot of stuff, but, I mean, you know, Colleen does a lot, too, so you want your day-to-day operations, you call and talk to Colleen.
Yeah, we appreciate Colleen, because she's been the one that's called the Saturday night show all the time, or let us call her and track her down. Now, most of the time we got her at Waffle House, but we usually got some answers.
That's Carlene.
Carlene. Oh, sorry. Wrong
Wilbanks.
Gotcha.
Where's Rennie?
They didn't make it.
Oh. No, I thought Rennie
was
going
to make
it.
I was calling them all day today.
Yeah, Karen.
The other thing is, when you say you're going to Inverness, everybody knows where you're going. I mean, when you say you're going to Inverness on a Saturday night, everybody knows where you're going.
You know, in the 60s, though, I remember my dad going from Mulberry, Florida, he'd go, Inverness, holy cow, that's like 2 hours, you know, because there was no major roads. Now, you can be there in 35 minutes, so it's not like it's that far away anymore. It's awesome.
That's cool. So is it break time?
It's close enough,
break time?
I guess.
Yes, it's break time.
Wayne, would you stay and do our commercials for us?
Real quick, Wayne, before you get up, I wanted to ask you, when Scott was on, you were talking about the starting park in NASCAR. And a lot of people don't know what that is.
It's kind of a little unknown thing, but what it is basically you go there, and I had a ride offered to me from a guy out of Orlando, Bob Rinaldi, and he could not afford to run a whole race. Because what you don't understand, you go there, and it takes an average of about $25,000 to go just attempt to qualify. But when you qualify, it pays about $65,000 or $70,000 to take the green. But if you race, you have to buy about another six or seven, eight sets of tires. And you start paying for the crew to come in and change the tires. And it gets to where you're spending more than you could possibly make. If you start and park, it's kind of a, I really shouldn't have said it like that because it doesn't sound good, but I'm just telling you for me.
I know what it is because I know a few teams
for me,
yeah, Dave
just
Fletcher
to be able to get
about
the opportunity to go to the Cup tracks and have a shot, I took the opportunity to start in Park. And hopefully maybe I qualify in three or four of them and maybe another a good team would want
Derek Cope's been doing it. This past season, Derek Cope did it at least 10 times.
And they actually NASCAR does not like
it. So you actually make money by making the race.
Oh yeah, no doubt. You make the race and do two laps.
Like
and
I told you, you
two
know,
to
you
11,
somewhere along. 25,000, you make the race, you make 70,000. So look at the profit part of it.
Yeah.
Two sets of tires. And
I think, and let me just put it this way: for us, we wanted to make two and race the third one, because then we made enough money in the first two that we could afford to race a third.
What do you think about this thing with the Cup guys coming down to the Busch?
I don't know. That's such a big business. The people who go to see a Busch race, they want to see them drivers. I mean, the people who go to stands, they want to see a Kevin Harvick. They want to be able to know that they went and seen.
Well, that's in the sponsors in the Busch series want to see those
big
names,
too.
It's
a shame, because, I mean,
from the driver's point of view,
it's very hard because the Cup, just even in Arkin, I think you can talk to Mario Gosselin.
Right.
Just the Cup affiliation that comes down, and it's even coming into Hooters now. Right. What the technology that they bring in is phenomenal.
Yeah, Hooters, they got a bunch of teams working on kids.
All these
Cup
teams are testing, all these engineers. We can't afford no engineer. But you go to a Cup race, and you go over to Junior's car, and there's six of them there.
Hey, Critter, if Wayne came out one night and wanted to run a street stock, would you let him?
Sure.
Okay, because I didn't know if there were rules against going backwards at the tracks, too.
Right. Not until we get to the lower class.
Other thing I wanted to ask you, Wayne, a lot of years in the All-Pro, what do you think about what NASCAR has done to that class?
I think it's terrible, but they killed that in the mid-90s when they went to the perimeter cars. Because we could go to Winchester, and, you know, you'd have, like, your series following. You might have 15, 16 of your diehard that are there every week. You might go to Winchester and pick up 8 or 10 of the locals there. But when they went to a perimeter car with steel interior and all this stuff, the locals don't have that. They can't afford to do that, so they couldn't race. And I think that was the beginning of the end, in my opinion. And we started going to these big tracks, which they're beautiful facilities to go to, but they're just really not made for our late models to go to a mile and a half track.
I think your dad once told me that if you took a late model, put it on Talladega, it'd disintegrate by the second lap.
The car would actually be faster than a Cup car, but the body would blow off of it. So, I mean, I hate to see it go, but at the same time, I think NASCAR killed it years ago.
No doubt.
Well, that brings a weird question to my head, and I'm sorry, but I got to ask it.
There's a lot of questions we can ask this guy.
Yeah, and that would be that. In going out and qualifying for a NASCAR race and then running three or four laps and so forth, at some point, don't they take a peek at this?
Happens every race, Bill.
Well,
they tell you where they take a peek at it. They take a peek at it when you go through tech.
Oh, they just look.
Next thing you know, your car ain't making it through tech.
Oh, okay.
You know, so. I mean, they have their ways of handling it, and it's a shame, but it's just a small guy just trying to make it. Maybe he can go up, you know, as an owner. Maybe a possibility of a sponsor see their car make it and they get a sponsor and get a break that they can race.
Yeah,
so
that's awesome.
Well, you know, like when you were when you're out there, you're trying to qualify for these races and stuff, good or bad, you were getting talked about a lot. I mean, 2/3 of Florida was talking about you because you were there. You're one of ours.
You know, exactly. I go to these places and you know. We go around here and we warm up. We warm up three or four laps and then get up to speed. But when you pull off the pit road, it's up through the gears and you just hope she sticks when you get to three. You know? So, I mean, it definitely is a whole different – it's a different type of racing. But I'll tell you right now, I give that up any day to go run in a short track in a late model car. I mean, that's just what I started with, and I feel like I'll probably – in my career with his short track cars.
That's what Billy Bigley says, same thing.
And going to places like Citrus, Ocala, you know, New Smyrna. I mean, let me tell you something. When I raced Citrus when I first started racing, and I went to New Smyrna, racing was I could work traffic better than anybody because it was just, you worked it on them little bull rings. You get to a big track, it becomes very easy. So Citrus taught me a lot, and it's a great little racetrack, and I just hope that, you know, more fans and more racers will come to it and the Ocala Speedway.
And what NASCAR track could you sit at on a Saturday night with barrels of wood burning,
That's right.
Bill's computer burning.
I can't tell you how many times I've been there after the races and Critter told me just to lock the gate when I left. So, you know,
there you go,
I
man.
Mean, where can
now,
you do that?
Now, your dad did it. Do you think at some point in the future running a racetrack or being part of a racing team that runs a racetrack be something you might look at?
I've looked at it in the last couple of years, and I'll be honest with you. On a perfect night, and I think Critter can attest to this, on a perfect night, somebody's leaving mad.
You no think doubt. You made, that's
you
no
think
doubt.
You made 90% of the
years
people
I've worked
happy,
at the racetrack.
10% are going to leave mad and raising hell about it. And it's a shame, but it's just the nature of the beast. But I just think, I feel like, you know, I'm 38 years old. I don't think I'm ready to tackle that because I don't think I could deal with the complaints on a week-in, week-out basis. Because
you damn sure still wheel a race car.
And I'm sure it does. And some of it is justified. There's no doubt some of it is. But you can't make the right calls all the time. And so somebody has to make the call. Somebody has to take the heat. And poor Critter over here, I've seen him take a lot of heat a lot of times. And, hey, in the Sun Belt Series, I've seen Don Arone take a lot of heat. Anything you want to talk about, when you're in this business, somebody's leaving mad every week. You just hope that the majority of them are leaving happy.
Oh, exactly. I think every racer in Florida has done that routine. Well, I'll never be back. And you just pray that they change ownership so you can come back because you've got to go somewhere. Yeah. So that's just the way it goes. Wayne, buddy, thanks so much, man. Awesome.
Thank you, guys.
Awesome.
Thank you very,
awesome,
very much.
Brother.
I just can't believe that, you know, a nice restaurant like this will let you guys come in here.
and this is kind of a quiet night. We've had this place like filled.
Yeah, we had almost
here.
50 people in here with the TBS.
I think you guys can clean up a little bit better to do this show. I mean, at least be in uniform or something. Look at you guys.
my nice yellow shirt in here. It's hanging in the thing.
We got banners.
Forgot you.
We're getting.
Thank you guys for having me.
It's like Casting Couch Junior.
You're not
hey,
going nowhere,
listen,
Bill's going.
Critter.
Thanks a lot, Wayne.
I need one more beer. There you go. Can we get another beer for Mr. Anderson, please?
I'll take care of that one.
Yeah, don't piss him off. That's for sure.
On your
who we got over there? Come on, wait a minute.
Real Racing USA tab.
Yeah.
Come on, Dad. Come on, Teddy. Teddy. Come on. Come on, Teddy.
Bill, you got to do another bit of the commercials.
Come on, Bill.
Let's do another bit.
Come on, pay the
bills. You do one. Do one.
I don't know.
Pick one.
You guys are professional announcers,
you.
For God's sake.
Thank you for Budweiser.
Real men of genius.
Real men. That's exactly right. Real men.
Real men of genius. The guy with the fire extinguisher at Newsomer.
That's right. That would have been
Newsomer.
It.
It was
I want to
cold.
Try something. You guys yelled.
I was
later.
In disbelief when the guy told me.
Why'd you shut us off?
Nope. Ain't working. We got an audio problem from hell in here, let me tell you.
Well, you know, right. The racing was good. It was a little chilly. But the look on Bill's face when you told him his computer burned
up. No. Well, he said your computer's on fire. Now, Jack's walking at me from the trailer. And I'm walking towards the trailer because it's about time to get back because it's only got 25 laps left. We got to start doing interviews. Jack's walking towards me. As he comes towards me, he goes, hey, Bill, your computer burned up. You better get in there. And I'm like, yeah, right. Sure, Jack. I'm just going to haul butt in there and worry about it burning. And then I get closer, and I notice, well, there is a computer sitting on the ground outside that's smoldering. And it apparently the fan, and it kind of caught the wires next to it, so it really fried everything.
Good job, Bill.
Yeah, it's screwed.
Critter, how'd you get involved with Citrus?
I started teching at Citrus probably about 15 years ago. And I teched for probably about 4 years. I left for probably six. I went drag racing for 6 years. And when Billy Hooker bought the track, he gave me a call and asked me, did I want to come to work for him? So I went back to work for him.
Now, how did it progress to where you are now?
Actually... I was teching at the time, and we had a general manager that quit. And when he quit, Billy asked me if I wanted to run the track for him that night, and I've been running it ever since. We're going on 2.5 years now.
Now, sitting across from you, Critter, is Teddy Nelson. Teddy, when did you go to Citrus the very first time?
Winter of 1980.
Winter of 1980. You went for some of the winter national kind of shows?
Yeah, matter of fact, Wayne's, Dickie and his wife had the track then, and they had a, best I remember, a 2 or 3 day show during the winter. And Matter of fact, we bought the car from Dickey, and we went up there and we won one of them races and finished second in one of them. And,
your first weekend in the car?
Not
ever?
Me. Dave Pletcher was driving back then.
Oh, well, and, that accounts for a lot of things. But, Dave,
Nelson Brothers car.
First time, yeah.
Now, Teddy, you added to your resume this year, right, with the championship and the modifieds there?
No, I wound up second. And
second?
We wound up a few points short, which
which
is our own doing. One night the had a whole front end, spare front end sitting there, but everybody was too interested in going and eating lunch instead of loading up the spare parts. So, you know, just the way it goes.
That was the night you lost the spindle.
Right.
Yeah, and I lost the right front spindle that night.
Your crew did not load the front end.
Nope.
See, that would have never happened with Jeter.
And that's funny that would wind up being a problem, because usually in the pits, you're one of the first guys that'll hand a guy a spindle if you got one and he needs one.
Oh, yeah.
I mean,
yeah,
that kind of happens all the time.
Got a $5,000 toolbox and no parts in it.
How long have you been building cars, though?
Actually, myself, you know, my dad and my uncle always built their, like what I was saying, back in the day, you built your own stuff and you raced it, you know, and, but basically, I built my first race car in 1985, and, you know, it was a mini stocker, and then we built, my dad helped me build, he wouldn't help me my first 2 years of racing, he told me I was going to prove to him I wanted to race, and my first 2 years was spent in mini stock, and then we moved up to a sportsman car, then he started helping me, and we won quite a few races, and then it just progressed from there. But then at that time, you know, Hal was building cars, and Port City, Dillon, and all of them came along, so you just started buying the stuff.
Critter, what's it like, though, to have the quality of not only a racer but a sponsor-type issue, a guy who builds the cars, helps the guys out, to come to Citrus County and run?
I think it's great for everybody. I mean, it helps the other racers. It helps the Speedway. You know, when you have names that are coming to the Speedway that are well-known in the state of Florida, you know, you've got people coming to watch you. You got other people that want to race against them. And it's just all around good for everybody.
Yeah, I imagine there's somebody up just in the northern part of the state that goes, well, we got to go down there and beat that Teddy Nelson character and prove we're anybody.
Well, it's the quality of drivers, the competitors that you have at that racetrack.
Oh, yeah.
Teddy Nelson, Wayne Anderson, an excellent
group of drivers in every single class.
Your track, out of all the tracks, brings fans from all over the state.
Yes,
you know, I mean, we all, DeSoto, we pull a few every once in a while, but everybody talks about Inverness all the time. Fans, cars.
And they do. They call it Inverness always.
Inverness.
I'm going to Inverness. I'm going to the Inverness Speedway. I'm going to Inverness track. They don't call it Citrus County.
And even in the modified class, on a weekly night, we have no less than 17, 15 cars. I mean, on a good night, we got anywhere between 24 or 30 cars. And it all goes back to, because they didn't mess with their motor rule, it's 7 pounds per cubic inch. And, I mean, on a little track like that, you don't need all that horsepower. I mean, everybody, they looked at me, well, you own a machine shop. You can build what you want. That's true. But the best guarantee I can give you is let me build your motor. And if you ain't happy with it, I'll swap it with you right there at the racetrack. You ain't going to take yours home. I'm not going to take mine home. We'll trade them right there at the racetrack. You know, and to that, you know, six of my motors wound up in the top 12 in the points there. You know, so it ain't always horsepower.
No. It's a lot of setting the cars up and so forth. And now you've got the third generation coming on with your son Dalton. What's it like watching Dalton race? And I know you've been out to the go-kart tracks first with him and stuff.
Yeah, the go-kart. I had him on the asphalt to start with, and just that, you know, as a dad being a racer and, you know, forgetting how you struggled when you first started, you know, you want your kid to win naturally. And we just wasn't making the progress I thought he needed to make. So I took him over to East Bay, and the first night he led the feature all the way up to the white flag lap. And so I just kept taking him to the dirt track, and it got to where he got faster, he was winning, and then just progressed from there. And then we went back to the asphalt. We put their champ cars, so they're like little sprint cars, and he won every heat and every feature that year. But I took him off the asphalt and put them on the dirt permanently and moved him up to a faster class. And his demeanor, or whatever you want to call it, he's calm and collective. He's got naturally a 12-year-old boy's attitude, but he don't never get excited.
And that's something I noticed early on with Dalton. He was very cool and calm. He didn't get upset about things.
I mean, you were more upset
in the pit sometimes than he ever was.
You know, Teddy, there isn't a week that goes by that we don't have sitting right here talking with us a racer like yourself who's been doing this a long time, who now has their kids involved. Mm-hmm. You know, we had a whole mess of people from DeSoto Speedway and some of the other tracks coming here, guys that used to race modifieds or race street stocks, and now they're like, their kids are starting to do it.
Right.
Does he have the same kind of look at it that you had when you were young, or is he looking at it from a different perspective?
He looks at it more and I have to give him credit for being 12. He looks more at the business end of it. I looked at it because I just wanted to race.
Yeah.
So he knows. But like I had a talk with him when we sold the go kart, and I bought him a street stock to run, and I had a little talk with him. Said I haven't messed with them things in so long. I don't know what it takes to make them work. So if you want to race, we're going to get it open with a modified. And that's what we got him sitting there in the shop. I got him a modified. We're putting it together, and he'll be running it this coming year.
See, Teddy and I grew up running around in the drag strip pits.
Right.
Is that right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oldsmar and Sunshine.
Tampa Dragway.
Old Tampa Dragway.
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
Yep. And
yeah, we used to see that Nelson Brothers Firebird come rolling in and say, well, we might get second.
Yeah. That's pretty neat, you know, people relate Nelson with the American flag that my dad's run on his cars all the years, you know, and people ask about, aren't you the Nelson that had the American flag? You know, they don't remember the races and stuff, but they remember that American flag being across the car from, I think the first time it debuted was 1971 on a, I think they ran F gas back then with a Camaro. And that's what eventually now is what the pro stock class in drag racing, and they just didn't have the funding to go on over into pro stock. So they parked the car for a while, and my uncle drove for different people. Then Pletcher came to work at the shop, and things evolved from there. Then Dave Brakel come along, and Jimmy Fenton back in the day. My dad built motors for him. And it's just, you started off in drag racing, and here we are today.
Yeah, we were watching Perry Lovelady go down a straight line.
Yep.
Is that right?
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
Mr. Zip Code.
Mm-hmm. Perry and Gil.
So let me give you a chance to blow some smoke here. How do you rate this guy as a manager of a racetrack? You've seen a whole bunch of them.
Oh, they do great. Like, you know, the calls ain't always going to go the way you want them to go. Things ain't always going to go the way you want it to go. You know, and it goes on both ends of the stick, you know.
Yeah.
And it's just in the heat of the moment, you know, your feathers get ruffled, but you go on, and, you know, and as you get older, you learn to watch what you say, and because you know you're going to come back, so you don't threaten. I ain't never coming back.
We all say that.
But all in all, it's a great facility. It's run on time, and I'm able to get back, back to Pinellas County before 2:00 in the morning. You know, that's a big plus.
That's real important. I mean, back, not even 10, 15 years ago, we used to sit in the pits till 1:00 in the morning at any racetrack.
Right.
Any racetrack. Now it's about time.
Mm-hmm.
Getting out of there on time, and it's important how you run your show. Do you have somebody that directs your show, or is it all you? Or
it's pretty much me. I mean, I'm steady watching that clock because I know I've got an 11:00 curfew, and the deputies are going to shut me down at 11. So I've got to get this night in, So I'm steady watching the clock and getting on the radio to my guys and girls and telling them, let's get a move on. You know, we've got to get this night in.
And I got to have every one of your classes timed. I mean, do you have
yes,
a time?
Yes, what
limit
we do
on
is we give them a minute a lap. You know, if we've got a 20 lap feature, they got 20 minutes to run the race. Same with heats, they got 6 laps, 6 minutes.
You got
to
say bye to Dave Sizemore from the Flash Man from WQYK. He's going to help us out.
That's right. And the last time I was up there, the mini stocks and the street the Sportsman, the Southern Sportsman Series and the Florida Mini Stock Challenge Series, they both flunked.
Yep, they did. We had to cut them both short.
What's been the shortest race you've ever run because of?
I think we had a limited sportsman race, or no, it might have been a hobby stock race. I think we ended up with 6 laps in 20 minutes.
What class was it that you used to run them into the infield?
That was cool.
That was our Thunderstock class. We ran them through the chicane or kidney bean.
That was really cool.
And the crowd loved it, but the drivers didn't care too much for it, so we cut it out.
A lot of roof racing on that.
Yeah, we had a few of them.
We loved it, Alan.
I loved it.
Melvin Farmer in the station
wagon. Don't you
love
it when people straighten you out? It's Flash Man from 103.5 now. He's moving. Oh, well.
still country, right?
Yeah, it's close enough. What can I say? Hey, we're glad to. You guys are doing an awesome job, though, at Citrus. There's no doubt about it, because everything I've seen, everything that everybody's talking about, nobody's saying anything too negative about much of anything. Have you had any thought about running on any other day besides Saturday compared to the rest of the state?
We have thought about it. With Ocala running on Friday night now, and Ocala and Citrus, we're going to work hand-in-hand this year. The two of us, we've gotten together. We've gotten our rules together where we've got no differences between the two classes. So with them on Friday, us on Saturday, it should be a good field for both tracks. We have found out over the years that Sunday does not work at Citrus, so we don't even try to do a rain out anymore on Sunday. We get rained out.
Yeah, somebody told me that the last good Sunday races were about 1964, 5, and 6.
Yeah.
After that, for some reason, it just
even last
work.
Year, we had the trucks there, and Matt Martin was there, and
his dad flew
his
in.
His dad flew in
that Sunday,
and we hyped that up even on the radio, and it still didn't help.
Nope.
You know, it was just a poor crowd, and you know, the car counts weren't even that great. You know, and
well, there is.
We've pretty much given up on Sunday.
When you look at Citrus County, if you were to look at how many churches and synagogues and so forth are in that county, there's a bunch.
Yeah, they're everywhere.
You guys are about 50 miles from Ocala, the Speedway.
I'm thinking 35, 40 tops.
Okay.
Yeah, it's not far if you go now. The roads are pretty good out there. They used to be a little rougher. But
yeah, I mean, they can jump right on 75 and be there in, you know, 25, 30, 40 minutes.
Teddy,
so you run 12 hours at Citrus and 12 hours at Ocala.
God, don't even.
We're going to be talking about the 12 hours in Ocala in just a minute.
I want to ask Teddy about Sunshine Speedway closing down. Teddy, what was it like to have a place like that go away after all those years that you'd had the opportunity to drive there and race to?
It was. I hadn't raced there in so long, and that it. I mean, I hated to see it go, but as far as going there and stuff, it hasn't affected me. But the memories, you know.
You had an awful lot of cars there with your names on them.
Oh, yeah. Nelson
Brothers.
You know, myself, I hadn't raced there in so long.
Okay, then let's go from that angle. Did it tend to change what happened at the shop with Sunshine going away?
No, because mostly a lot of my work came from Citrus County, Ponte Gorda. Do a lot of late model work for guys at East Bay. Marshall Austin runs a lot of my motors. And, you know, other people I do machine work for and stuff like that. And a lot of my work always came from out of town, so Sunshine closing up didn't affect my business one way or another.
Oh, okay.
Teddy,
I thought
ask
it would.
Bill how he felt about it.
No, yeah, I just thought it would because you're so close to it physically.
Right. Oh, yeah. I mean, there's a lot of good times there that, you know, I still look upon, and, you know, me and, like, you know, Buggy, you know, we grew up together there, and a couple other guys like Clay Ziegler and his brother Corey, and, you know, I met my wife there. At the racetrack.
Look at Jason Overstreet. I don't know if you were running against him or.
No, I was gone by the time he came along.
Yeah, but there's a lot of folks went through that. I just thought it being so close, it might be a big issue, but no big deal.
Yeah, the biggest thing I took from there is my wife. So.
She's still doing her graphics.
Keeps my car lettered.
Well, let's use that as one of our advertisements for the night. What's it called?
Nelson's Vinyl Graphics.
Oh, she changed it.
Yeah.
It was Cindy's Graphics.
So if I got that right, your son's going to race open wheel modified?
Yeah, whatever it takes. I'll buy a bond or whatever. I guess I'm going to probably have to take him to Orlando on Friday nights and buy a bond. But
sure, are you going to race against him?
No, on Friday I'm going to devote my time to him because I got a plan, and we got a plan together, and, you know, like a.
Can you let us know when we love it? I mean, every 5 years down the road we're doing this, 10 years down the road we're doing that.
Well, I'm leaving tonight to Carolina, so I can leave it at that.
Okay.
Yeah, it's all about the money. Yeah.
Well, that's cool,
I got
though.
A plan, you know, and he showed me, too, that as fast as his go-kart got to being, I mean, people say, oh, it's a 5-horse go-kart, but they don't realize the G-force that little go-kart puts on a body and how fast they do get going.
And there's no doors and no roll cage.
Nope.
Well, the one he had a roll cage on it, and five-point
come to think of it, Dalton has been upside down, if I remember right.
Oh, yeah, he's been upside down.
Yeah.
So
that'll get
well, that's why I got him out of the open go-kart and put him in a cage go-kart, because he did crash one pretty bad at DeSoto. And I just looked down and I told him when I got to him. I asked him if he was okay first. He said, yeah. So, well, you're done racing or are you getting a champ cart, one or the other? So that was the deciding factor there.
There you go.
But he showed a lot of maturity for being 12 years old. And like I told him, I know where I made my mistakes at. If you'll listen to me, I can help you along. You know, and
he's a good kid. There's no doubt about it.
He's a good kid. And two, I got a lot of good sponsors around me. I got a lot of good people around me, so he can see how a team works together, you know. And I got Stanley ProFit Windows from Clearwater.
I was going to say, some of your sponsors have been with you for a long time. Talk about them.
You know, they've been good to me. And Mr. Ted Kitzman Motorsports and his wife Sandra, they've been so kind to me. And just the friendship that's built there. It ain't just, you know, I drove for him a little bit, and he went on to do business things, and then he called me back wanting to get back to racing, and, you know, and then Stanley called me. And
Wayne Anderson, ladies and gentlemen.
Stanley called me back.
Elvis has left the house. Okay.
And then Stanley called, or Ted got Stanley to sponsor the car, and, you know, they came to me and wanted to know if I wanted to go late model racing. Well, I don't have time with the crew that I have. I don't have time to race a late model. The open wheel modified, I'm happy with that class, you know. I mean, if I had plenty of people, the money's there. The funding ain't the problem. It's the people. Cause even to run a – I mean, if they went back to the wedge-style bodies, aluminum bodies with the wedge noses and all, yeah, I'd go back to racing a late model. But them stock bodies, I'm not getting involved with that.
And now, Critter, what's coming up at Citrus, buddy? I know we got some winter stuff kind of stuff coming up. And
yeah, we've got a winter spectacular coming up December the 2nd. We've got twin 50 modifieds. I believe our sportsman is going to be there.
Turn around, yeah.
Yeah.
She should be up here.
I'm thinking, she should be up here. She does our scheduling, so. Mini stocks are going to be there. Limited sportsmen. And the Florida open wheel lights are going to be there.
Cool. Well, I know there's lots of neat things coming up. What kind of kickoff for 2007 you planning?
2007, we're going to have a January race, January the 20th. We're going to have the Twin 50 late models. Our hobby stocks are going to be there. I believe our Thunders are going to be there also. Basically, we're running the remaining classes that we're not running on December 2nd.
And throughout the year, you're going to work
throughout
with
the
Ocala.
Year, right. Throughout the year, we are talking very serious about having a couple of Twin 50 races that are actually going to, we're going to race one at Citrus, we're going to race one at Ocala, and the points are going to revert back and forth.
Cool.
And then the winner at the end has the most points at the end of that fifth race. You know, we're going to go from there.
That's just a damn shame you and Mike Peters getting along like that.
It is. It really is.
Of course.
I tell you, Mike and Angie, they are something else. Those people are so nice. And they want to work together with us, and we want to work with them too, you know.
Well, I got one last question. We only got about 2 minutes left, maybe three. And that is, what kind of changes in 2007 will most of the traveling series see as they come to Citrus County, or will they?
I don't really think they will. We have limited a lot of the travelers this year. It just got so hectic with traveling series coming in. We have scaled way back on traveling series. The biggest change that Citrus is going to have for 07, we are looking very heavy into transponder system. And that's probably going to be a done deal before January's race, I hope.
Awesome. I know they're going to use it at the Hopkins truck.
Well, that will keep Colleen from having to be running around like a crazy woman down there on the track, right?
It will do that, yeah.
Yeah. There you go.
Well,
yeah.
I tell you
it actually will be it'll be a better show for everybody because at the end of the evening, you know, I can't even count on hands, feet, and everything else how many complaints I got that this guy finished in front of this guy and on this particular caution, he wasn't ahead of me. And at least with those transponders, there's no questions.
Yep. And you get somebody to run the system good, you know what's going on. Well, I'll tell you what, hopefully if you go to Citrus County throughout 2007, you'll get a chance sooner or later to see the son beat the father when it comes to the Nelson
Race. Also, I got
to
say, too, Ed Howe, Mr. Ted, the guy I drive for, he's got connection with people in the Green Hornet's going to be building modifieds again, and we're one of the lucky ones to get a house car, and we're going to be debuting that, and can't wait to see the paint job Scott Rod's going to put on this car, because he keeps my cars looking so great, you know.
Yeah.
And the new motor combination me and my dad's coming up with, and just the shock deals we're getting, just people, you know, you learn over the time.
You just brought another question to my mind.
Conduct yourself at the racetrack and how
crate motors, are they going to hurt your business, so to speak, in building motors?
It's a joke.
It's a joke. It's a joke. You heard it here. It's a joke.
CitrusCountySpeedway.com.
I mean, crate motors.
Yes.
Hang on.
I mean, they already got crate motors. You can call a man and he'll tell you, you want the $4,800 crate motor or you want the $16,000 crate motor?
To rocket dogman's words.
All of a sudden, are the crate motors supposed to be that you can go to Chevrolet place and buy for $4,800? How come this one here is $16,000? You know, and then
and you can't buy them bolts, right?
No, the bolts are on the bolts are there. Yeah.
You can buy them. It's no. That, I mean, it's no.
I found them on the internet.
Yeah, you can buy them. I mean, it's no.
Yeah.
It's no secret.
It's just a secret about being able to buy the bolts to break into them. I mean, the biggest thing is, especially in round and round racing. I mean, my biggest money maker is drag racers. The young kids are coming up through it. Because they don't got to worry about a motor rule change every year. They ain't got to worry about a chassis rule, you know, going from an offset car to a perimeter car, from a wedge body to a stock clip, you know, fabricated clip.
You're right.
They ain't got to worry about that. You know, and then the round-to-round racer guys, if you, you know, like me and Wayne, we've been around it for so long, but you don't see, if it wasn't my son, you wouldn't see a generation after me. So, you know, somewhere along the line, the promoters got to look out there and say, oh, what are we doing here?
Yeah.
You know, the crate motor, that's the biggest joke to come along. And then you, I can't say a whole lot, but then you blow them up on the dyno on purpose so you can send them out and have it done. Then you pick up 25, 30 horsepower there. So, I mean, but then that 45, even if
blow
you
blow them up on the dyno, send it out and get it back. And
you know, we haven't
heard that one before.
This is new.
Start
this
part.
This is new
come
stuff.
On, baby, stay
we've
with me.
We've had this conversation
work
with
it,
many
work
people.
It.
But, I mean, that's new.
So that $4,500 crate motor, all right, you blow it up, send it back out, you get it back, it's another $4,500.
Hear
so
that, Bobby Deal?
We're saving money.
Oh,
we ain't
man.
Saving money.
Well, I
need
tell
to
you
leave
what.
The rules alone, come up with a rule 7 pounds per cubic inch or 350 and let the tech man rule the tech area like it should be.
Critter, yeah. Is that Travis Nichols sitting over there?
It is.
We're gonna have
why
to,
don't we
yeah, bring
take a quick break.
Take a quick break.
Oh, yeah,
so
one of our breaks.
Commercials.
This is the news Short Track America break.
We'll take a short break, and then we'll have Travis Nichols and Doc Batson join
us. Yeah, we want to thank Dayton Andrews Dodge for continuing to hang in there with Short Track America and selling those vehicles to help out young David Leonard. As you go into Dayton Andrews Dodge, all you got to do is make your best deal. When you get into the finance office, you tell them that Short Track America sent you, and they will send $500 of that deal to young David Leonard's foundation, and that'll help the young man in every way possible. So make sure you take the drive. That'll
Thank
save
her,
a
yes.
lot. St. Pete, and go to Dayton Andrews Dodge.
Tell him, Rick.
Critter, thanks, buddy. Teddy.
Thank you, guys. I appreciate you having me tonight.
On behalf of my wife, I'm
back.
Supposed to give you a kiss, but I ain't doing it.
Okay.
Thanks, Teddy.
So, Teddy Nelson, ladies and gentlemen, the man behind the plan. If you need a motor, go to the Nelson Brothers. You can't miss them. They're in the Yellow Pages. Wow. Well, I'll tell you what, guys. It's For what it's
hey,
worth, it's going
hey, Bill,
pretty fast.
We're actually going to run 10 minutes over tonight, by the way.
Cool. That'll work.
Yeah.
Don't want to forget Evergreen Development and Construction Company. They've been great to come on board with us. Looking forward to Q Motorsports hanging in there with
and
us.
And we got to thank Mary Green because she runs
Mary,
our name on her car.
It's the only one in America.
I think she should
America.
Be our co-host.
I think she should, too.
Mary?
Do you think she could put up with
would
us?
Would you?
She counts really good.
You know, like twice a month or so, would you drive this far, come down and sit and co-host with us?
All
yes.
right.
All right.
We don't normally have the issues that we
have. You can have half of my $12 of food.
Sometimes it's worse.
Sometimes it's worse. So we have two people. Now, Travis Nichols, do you want a championship at Citrus County Speedway this year?
No, not this year. Back in 2001, back when it was street stock, which I think by now
is
equivalent to hobby stock.
Okay, what did you race this year?
I did the Southern Sportsman Series for a little while. And,
that's right.
What'd you think of that?
Well, last year we had, the prior year, we had pretty good success. I was driving for another gentleman and finished second. And I came back with what I thought was one of my own cars, and I thought it was would be pretty competitive. We started off that way, but, you know, we came back with pretty much the same thing we started, ended last year with, and the rules didn't change, but all the cars did, so we were kind of behind the eight ball to start with, and money issues and building a house and trying to spend some more time with family.
Normal life stuff.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, you get to that the time issue, you know, as far as
you got time to build a house and have a family when you're racing?
Oh, yeah, and then you want to go race at Citrus. You know, it's good you can get home and still be able to get up at a decent hour next morning so you can spend some time with family.
Ask the guy across the table.
All right, Travis, we'll get back to you in just a minute. Now, Doc Batson, you raced at Bronson. We know you raced at Bronson for a long time. Rick and I, Bill, we all just come up there. We see you racing at Bronson. And we saw you at Ocala just recently collecting the big trophy with your team for the 12 hours of Ocala.
What
a trip that must have been.
It is for a 47-year-old man.
I'm telling you.
But
I'm telling you.
When you first heard about the 12 hours of Ocala, what did you think?
Well, I first heard that I was going to drive it on the way to the track Friday night.
That's the way to do it.
I had no idea I was going to be
driving that 12-hour race. Get them in the truck, get them going there, and then tell them what they're doing.
30 minutes before we got to the track.
Hold that straight up.
Well, you're a young man. Spontaneity's part of the deal.
That's right.
You have to be flexible in this sport,
I guess.
What kind of plan did you guys go in there with? We'll drive 3 hours each or 2 hours each? Or
2 hours each, and that's about what we figured. We had fuel for about 2 hours and 20 minutes. So we did two-hour shifts. The first time I went out, the owner of the car decided that he was going to put me in the car with brand-new right-side tires, not been cut. I told him I thought that was a bad idea. He said, well, I want to do it. My car. I said, got a good point there. So I said, I'll drive whatever you give me.
Was that Stallnaker?
Stallnacker.
Stallnacker?
Yes. Well, however you want to pronounce it. That's close enough.
I'll say that as you say enough. It.
It's your show.
Stallnaked? Stallnacker.
Anyhow, I drove it for an hour and a half, and I came in with it. I told him, I said, get those tires off this car. Well, what they did is they went ahead and filled it back up, put the new tires on, sent me back out. I'd already been driving for an hour and a half, and I'm thinking, I got a wee-wee. And they just put two more hours of gas in this car. You know, because you try to hydrate yourself pretty good for a two-hour session there. And I'm thinking, you know, we're going to have a problem here in a little while. But, you know, you got to be flexible.
Got to be flexible.
And your bladder must be, too.
Apparently, if you're doing it with the straps on, with the five-point harness on, you can still, you got to be real flexible.
And your bladder's flexible, too. I found that out.
Wow. Think of other things.
So you're going to do it next year?
Yeah, we are going to do it next year.
Yeah.
We don't know if we're going to do it in a hobby stock or not. We, again, Jeff Stallnaker Sr. called me on the. I was on the way to the racetrack, late as usual because I work till 6 o'clock on Fridays. But he says, I'm thinking about entering our car in the 12-hour race. Would you help my two sons drive in it? I said, well, you know, not a problem. I said, what's going on out there? He said, well, we've got our car. We're going to drive it in third gear, which is high gear. Which in their car, I think, is a 373 final drive. He said, we're turning 2,800 RPMs. We're going to do it for 12 hours. He says, the way I've got my stopwatch on it now, he says, we're a little over a second a lap faster than anybody out here. He said, I'm going to enter the car in the race. Will you help drive? And I said, sure. I'll do what I can.
And he wasn't lying.
He wasn't lying. It's a fast car.
Now, for a long time, there was a little bitty mini stock out of Tennessee that kept up with you guys. I mean, he was doing a good job, and they had great gas mileage. It could go almost 2 hours, 45 minutes or so.
You know, that became an issue, and apparently one of the rules were the size of the gas tank, fuel cell. And that thing stayed out there, and it stayed out there. And I thought to myself, you know what? I got on the tech man's little scooter he had, and I said, we're going to go down and watch this thing fill up with fuel because I know they're going to put at least 6 cans in it, which would be, about 30 gallons?
Yeah.
They didn't even get the second can in that thing, and they were done.
Yeah, that little sucker would go.
It is good gas mileage.
And that's what he thought. Now, them people came from dirt in Tennessee and had never driven asphalt and went 12 hours and finished second. Give me a break.
Was the wreck planned?
No, the wreck was definitely not planned.
Now that was just a part that kind of wore out.
Jeff Stallnaker had no idea how my luck was running that week. We won at Bronson the Saturday before, and I went to the track at Inverness on Thursday night to check a new setup on my car that I had, and the timing chain broke, and it bent all the valves in both heads. Luckily, it didn't blow the motor. So it started then. And so on the way to the track Friday, he asked me to help help drive. So I said, yeah, I'll do it. I didn't tell him how my luck had already started off bad. So we get to the track, and I go out in the car the first time. Well, of course, he puts the new tires on the right side. And I'm out there, and this thing's handling about like a camel. And so I bring it in after an hour and a half. I'm exhausted from trying to make the thing turn. And so that's the first time I got in the car. I had to bring it in. Second time I got in the car, and I kept telling Jeff, I said, we need to put some oil in this thing. I said, this car's not used to running, 12 hours, and they do burn a little oil. It'll be fine. Second time I got in the car, the oil pressure goes to zero in the corners. I have to bring it in. And so we put 3 quarts of oil in it. I'm back out again. Third time I get in the car, which is the last leg, and the nut that holds the lower ball joint on decides it's going to fall all the way off. This is 22 minutes before the race ends. And I'm going into the turn number one and hit the wall. And going back around the dog leg to come off the track, I had to wait for one car to pass, and the guy that was driving the truck was coming on pretty hard, and I had to kind of time it just right to go between them. The only thing I didn't take into consideration, the right front is like
dragging,
leaned way over. So when I let out on the clutch to go out, it didn't go straight. And I believe a mini stock number 44 or something took the brunt into that.
Yeah, you clipped
it. I heard about that pretty bad.
I bet.
Got accused of trying to kill the guy and everything else. But
ruined the car. But you guys got it right back out. I mean, you were a couple of
laps ahead.
Travis,
now you're a race car driver. What does a camel drive like?
Probably something pretty close to like a dump truck, I'd imagine.
Oh, okay.
I've heard that phrase before.
Yeah, I've heard that phrase, too.
I think I've driven one of those.
So, Doc, you guys both race at Citrus on a pretty regular basis?
Yeah, this year I raced at 3 tracks. We were going to try 4 tracks, but kind of like Wayne said, one of the tracks that I wanted to race at this year ran different tires, and some of the rules were different, so we only raced 3 tracks this year.
Yeah. Do you race Sportsman?
I used to race Sportsman, yeah. That's what I started in.
You know, one of the things I've always wanted to ask you, because I don't think we've ever, you've been on any of our shows, I don't think we've ever talked. I've always wondered, why do you stay in those, why aren't you racing the big late models or,
Well, I've won 2 late model championships.
Have you?
Yes.
Oh, when was that?
Well, I started off in Sportsman.
Uh-huh.
And I ran that for 3 years, won 2 track championships there. And then the late model championship.
Okay, I didn't know
at
that.
Emberness.
I didn't know
I won
that.
A late model championship at Bronson and a sportsman championship at
okay.
Bronson.
Okay, but you haven't been out and traveled. I hadn't seen you around the state.
We did the Florida Pro Series 1 year, and we ran about half of it.
Bert's old deal?
Yeah, just not the whole thing. We were just hit and miss. Some of the local tracks. We went to Volusia, Lake City, of course, in Emberness, Bronson, Ocala.
That's cool. Your daughter's you have a daughter that races?
She used to race. She's going to start back this year. Just bought her a brand new car, and so she's going to start back this year. We got our first practice session in a couple of weeks ago.
Wasn't she one of the ones that went off at Bronson?
I was there the afternoon that
Conquest.
His throttle stuck. Man, that thing went higher than the trees out there, and it broke his back. I don't know if you knew that or not.
Oh yeah,
it broke his back. He had to have surgery after that, but. That's kind of wild. But, no, she hit the wall at Bronson as a rookie, and we had to airlift her that night. It was pretty scary.
Yeah.
What's it like having a daughter out there racing?
I had to give my wife an apology for her getting so excited when I was out on the racetrack, and I had no idea what she felt in her chest until my daughter got out on that racetrack and started racing. And I'll tell you what, it's a different experience when your child is out there racing than it is when I'm out there racing. It's nervous, that's your kid out there, and you realize it's a dangerous sport. And so I looked at her, and I said, this is the way you feel when I'm out there? She said, I've been trying to tell you that.
What's the what are some of the things you've told your daughter about racing? What kind of things are, ideas have you given her?
Well, we started Crystal out in the hobby stock division, and I made her – we went out and practiced probably about 7 or 8 times before I ever let her race. And, I'd bump her going in the corners, and she'd come in and she'd say, you hurt my neck. I said, that is nothing compared to what you're going to experience. So, if you can't handle that, then we don't need to go any further. She said, I can handle it. And, she toughened up, did real well. Bronson's her favorite track. She likes racing there. She won a lot of races there. But I did got the privilege of giving her her first good push in the corner. I got the privilege of giving her a good spin out in the infield. I let her daddy break her into all that good stuff so she'd know what to expect.
There you go. There you go. Yeah, your dad spun you out. We'll send him and you to the rear so you can get him back.
Travis, what are you doing next year?
At this point, it's really undecided. I'll definitely be at Citrus.
That's looking for a ride talk, huh?
Yeah, right. I got one sitting there at the house. We're debating on whether to unload it, run the December race. But right now, it's really undecided. I definitely will be at Citrus, whether I'm racing or not. My father just started back after 15 years, so trying to give back to him what he's given to me because he's always dropped what he's doing to come help me go racing. So trying to give him a hand. So.
What's he going to do?
Thunderstocks. You know, he had a
What's
short,
his first name?
John.
John?
Yeah, John Dry. He'd be Thunderstocks. But he had a short stint back in 87, and then obviously, you know, money issues always come into play, so put an end to that.
What year were you born?
76.
Oh, I thought maybe that was a correlation. Okay.
No. Not quite. But, no, it's that's the only plans I have for this year right now.
Hey, why are you pointing at Bill?
Because I think he's going to call up Tim Bryan.
It's the high side. So we still have signals.
He's going to call up Tim Bryan here in a minute. So, Doc, why do they call you Doc?
Well, I'm a chiropractor.
Okay, that's what I thought you were.
Yeah. You ever know a doctor?
Good
Miller,
sport to be.
Bruce Miller?
Yeah, I was going to say, like, he pushed, you know, he pushed, did, like, so you put your daughter, Crystal, into the wall. Do you do an adjustment afterwards? Or
actually, I didn't put her in the wall, but no. I'd have to fix it.
No, he bumped her.
I just did
her.
The infield thing, you know.
Oh, I thought he put her in. So
No.
Oh, okay.
No. He better not.
you know who I'd have to answer to. I just found that out.
That feeling standing on the hill.
Mm-hmm. Did Mama not know?
What
that
got you into racing, Doc?
You know, I started sponsoring a car, Sportsman, there at Inverness, and I loved the sport itself. Got an opportunity to drive one of the backup cars, and, you know, that has cost me a lot of money. I should have never done it. But then again, on the same hand, it's the best sport in the whole world. I'm glad I did it. And my daughter's, you know, had an opportunity to do it, and she loves it. It's great.
Once it bites you hard.
It's there, and it's there forever.
How do you like racing Citrus?
I like Citrus. That's where I started. Great track. Again, it's got more than one lane. You can pass on it, and the competition's just awesome there.
You got four lanes coming down the back straight.
Sometimes you do. Sometimes you create your own lane.
Yeah.
Sometimes we do dirt tracking there.
Agricultural racing.
That's exactly right.
So do we have Tim Bryan on the line with us?
Yeah, that's what all that means. You should introduce him.
Hey, guys.
Hey, Tim, how you doing?
Doing great. How's everything down there?
It's warmer, I bet, here than it is up there in Five Flags of Pensacola.
You know what? I was talking to Charlie Menard's crew chief today, who is in Wisconsin, as you probably know, and asked him if he could bring a little warm weather down here with him.
Yeah, gotcha. Tim Bryan is the are you the general manager up there?
That's correct.
Yeah, at Five Flags Speedway. And we have a little race coming up that you do once a year up there called the Snowball Derby.
For the 39th year this time.
How many thousand drivers you got signed up for that thing now?
There's a bunch of them.
Well, on our marquee, we've got 180 entries so far, but that does cover all our divisions. Our local guys are starting to trickle in now. Right now, we're sitting on 74 entries for the Snowball Derby and 64 entries for our Allen Turner Snowflake 100, which runs the night before.
Has either one of these races ever been snowed out?
Come on, Bill.
Thanks. Always attack me.
Hey, Bill.
Oh, that was a good question.
I think you lost our guest there.
Tim, you still there?
No, I think I'm with you.
Okay, did you hear his question?
How many have any of these races ever been snowed out?
Oh, no, I didn't hear that.
Okay.
Yeah, I didn't hear you heard that.
My first year as GMY, we rained it out for the first time in 37 years, so I've got that black cloud hanging over me. I understand the long-range forecast is for pretty good weather, actually, for the snowball this year, so that's what we're banking on. It may be a little cool, but, you know, my answer to that is it always just makes the cars run faster.
Is it true you got Butch Miller coming to race in that race?
You know what? Butch is coming to do double duty. He's going to run in the the pro late model Snowflake 100, which is the ASA type cars, on Saturday night in a 100 lapper, and then run the Snowball Derby on Sunday. You know, Butch won that thing in 1987, so 19 years later, he's coming back to try to get his second one.
Butch Miller, Dave Mader, now all you need is Dick Trickle to come in, and it'd be a great race, wouldn't it?
The only Snowball Derby I ever got to go to, I was home on leave, and a buddy of mine said, hey, let's go, so we went, and I got to see Dick Trickle win one of those that he ran. I don't even remember what year it was. It was 80-something.
So what's the big news that you got? What's the big new news?
Well, you know, the big news for us is, you know, a lot of our local fans that only come out because this is the largest sporting event in Northwest Florida, and a lot of people that may not be diehard race fans usually come to the Snowball, and I'll meet them on the streets and they say, you know, what NASCAR driver you got coming? Well, you know, the truth of the matter is this year we do have a couple of guys. I mean, David Strimme, for one, is coming in to run our Saturday night race. But, you know, my answer to that is always, you know, this is a short track race. We got the best short track racers in the country. You know, no bad reflection on any NASCAR guys. Naturally, we'd love to have them, and a lot of the biggest names in NASCAR have been through here and run the Snowball Derbies. But this is a short track race that brings the best of the best, and you know, it's just one competitive event. So you know, we may not have a lot of household names, but if you're a short track fan, they're household names for sure.
Doesn't hurt, though, to have people like that, a Stephen Wallace or whatever, getting in the field, because that helps bring more fans and it brings some other drivers that want to prove they're better than them.
Well, you know, I think it's a situation where the Snowball, you know, over all these years has developed into a race where guys can really put a feather in their cap, certainly with a win, but just having a good run at the Snowball kind of sets the tone for a guy going into the next season. But the other thing is, gosh, we got just people coming from all over the country. We got an entry from Johnny Clark this year, who, you know, won the Pass North Series. He's coming all the way down from Maine. You know, we got Brian Scott from Boise, Idaho, who just, you know, made an excellent run up at Nashville at the All-American. He's really coming into his own. Of course, he's got Freddie Query as his crew chief. He crashed out of the Nashville race, but he was running solidly in the top 10. So, you know, Brian will be a contender. Of course, you know, we got Texas drivers and the strongest contingent, I guess, is probably our Florida guys. For one thing, we got a real strong contingent of hometown guys. Of course, Eddie Mercer won the race last year. We have, Scott Carlson, always a contender. Junior Niedecken has been trying for many years and is probably running his best game ever. Of course, Dave Mader from nearby Mobile won our Blizzard Series. He'll be a contender. But down your way, I mean, you know, looking forward to having Wayne Anderson and Jeff Chiquette, Jeff Schofield, David Rogers, Jay Middleton. You know, don't mean to leave anybody out, but, man, all of those guys are contenders for the win.
We may have to make another trip, short track America trip.
Yeah, we had Wayne Anderson and Jeff Schofield. We're talking a little bit a while ago. They were talking about making the trip up. Matter of fact, somebody called us from up that way.
Yeah, it was a guy named Steve. You got a racer named Steve. He's really big in the Snowball Derby. He calls a lot of the racers to make sure they're coming. And
we certainly do. A guy named Steve Meyer, who is probably one of our strongest assets at Five Flags. He's an encyclopedia of short track racing and knows most of the guys around the country on a first-name basis.
Well, make sure you tell Steve when Short Track America does this retro show. We're going to do some old-timer shows coming up here during the wintertime. We're going to pick his brain a little bit.
I'll certainly do that.
What happened, Rick? Rick's looking for information to ask you.
I'm just looking on.
Okay.
So what are the details of the race? What time does they start? What's the pits open and all that sort of stuff? Grandstands and all that sort of stuff.
Well, I tell you, we kick everything off on Wednesday night, November the 29th, and we call it the Green Flag Party. It kind of signifies the start of the event, if you would. It's gotten popular. This will be our third year for that. We bring all the teams in on Wednesday, stage all the rigs, we do all the technical inspections and all that stuff, and then Wednesday night we have a gigantic autograph session. We'll be giving away our Blizzard Series awards. We have a live band playing. You know, we sell chili for $2 a bowl and give all the money to charity, and I mean, it's just a great event. It's a lot of fun, and it kind of lets guys unwind a little bit before Thursday morning when the gates open and everybody gets down to serious business. We start practicing on Thursday. We run two of our local divisions. On Thursday night, it'll be our bomber race and our sportsman 75-lap race. Then on Friday, we continue to practice the late models. On Friday night, we'll be running the Super Stock 75-lap championship race. We're running a mini sportsman division. But at 6 o'clock before that, it's when the drama really starts to unfold, because at 6 p.m. we do snowball derby qualifying. And I tell you, with 70-plus cars going for 30 spots, we lock in 30 on Friday night. It is some kind of drama.
Well, I know it's going to be an awesome, awesome race. It's well worth the trip. There's no doubt about it.
We come back on Saturday. We're going to run an open-wheel modified race. We got a lot of entries from that, and probably have some guys from down your way in for that 75-lapper on Saturday. And then, as I mentioned, we've got 60-plus entries in our Alan Turner Snowflake 100, which will run at 7 o'clock Saturday night. That, again, is the our pro late model division, predominantly but not exclusively Crate Motors, ASA-type cars. And that thing has just really grown in popularity. Of course, you know where that division of racing seems to be headed. Oh, but then on Sunday, and we'll also run our last chance races on Saturday afternoon. But on Sunday, it'll be 38 cars taking a green flag at 2 o'clock for the 39th snowball.
Well, we appreciate you stopping by with us. We'd like to talk to you next week, if you don't mind us calling you again next Tuesday night and see how things are progressing.
Okay. All right. I can give you more of a report. Some of the teams will be in town. We've got some testing going on nearly every day. As a matter of fact, tomorrow, among others, we have Eddie Mercer, last year's winner, and Buckshot Jones, who's making his return to racing here at the Snowball this year. He'll be on the track tomorrow. So be glad to talk with you guys. Appreciate the opportunity next Tuesday.
All right, man. We appreciate it. Thanks so much for the call.
You bet.
All right, Tim Bryant, man, awesome,
Buckshot,
awesome lineup.
Buckshot Jones, 0-0 coming back.
Now we can make another bet. Who's going to be the first one Buckshot hits?
All right, we might need to send Doc Batson up to Five Flags. He might have some.
Hey,
some
on the Friday
up
on the Friday
Buckshot
night they're running
Jones
mini
the
stocks.
Track.
Come on, we should send our ambassador for racing.
Say what?
We should send Mary.
I don't think he said mini stocks.
He said
a
modified
mini sportsman.
Oh, did he? I thought it was a.
A mini sportsman series.
Any mini
straighten
gets
him
my
out,
attention.
Right? Straighten him out.
Oh, yeah.
Pay
I'm sorry, I'm not on encyclopedia.
So, what's on the agenda for next year?
Next year, I think we're going to do the same thing we did this year. We're not really going to run for points anywhere. A little stressful to do that. So, we're going to mainly concentrate with the daughter. We want to race with her. We're going to race in hobby stocks together and just have fun. Enjoy the sport.
What is the stress?
The stress is, well, when you run for points, people just don't like you when you do.
What did you say? A lot of Xanax.
Okay. They don't
Xanax.
Like you when you
they
do well?
It's, you know, kind of goes along with the sport.
Honey, you're running too
fast. Like when you're
fast.
Successful, you make enemies.
Certainly, especially when you're a points leader or top three in points.
That's our problem.
What?
We don't have points?
No. We must just be good. That's why we make so many damn enemies.
Bill doesn't make an enemy.
No, definitely.
Oh, what are you
three?
Trying to say?
Well, I got an enemy in the Real Racing Radio trailer, let me tell you.
Travis, what's up for you next season, bro?
I'll be at Citrus, whether I'm driving or helping my father, just hang out there, helping people out. Car sitting there, it's just a matter of loading up and taking it. But
he looks like a guy who, this is hunting season.
No, not into hunting.
Not into
none
hunting?
None whatsoever.
Oh. Sponsors on the race car, Travis?
You know, the funny part is my mother-in-law actually owns my car.
Your mother-in-law?
I got it made.
That'll keep your ass home, right?
That'll keep your ass home. He'll
treat my daughter right or else, young man.
You know, one thing before...
You don't want to see somebody else driving that race car, do you?
No.
Damn straight.
Honey, come back.
Did we find
I
out anything about the Ocala drag strip?
No, this is a Citrus
yeah,
show.
Meeting, I think they're meeting with the commissioners tonight.
Tonight.
Ocala?
Yeah.
That'd be way cool.
I don't have the word yet.
Doc, sponsors on your race car?
Sharon Batson Chiropractic Center. And that's it. It's less stress that way.
We want to really thank you guys for coming all the way down here.
Yeah, I got
what are you doing,
I got
man?
This curvature thing going on.
That says Xanax across the back of your car, does it?
It says face your wife when you come back in. Do it right.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks very
Thank
much, for
Travis,
Doc.
Appreciate everybody.
Critter, Wayne Anderson, Teddy Nelson, Tim Bryant,
man. Schofield.
Hey, Jack.
Thanks, man.
Thanks, Colleen. Thanks, Colleen.
Our co-host, our new co-host, That's Mary right. Green. Mary,
Mary
sit
Green.
Down.
Mary,
sit down.
Got to turn the microphone on. See, that's the first
Let's make sure we tell everybody Happy Thanksgiving.
That's right.
Oh, yeah, it's Thanksgiving.
That's right. I had something to say about that, and I told you, in all this confusion before the show, I forgot all about it.
What's
what?
Some Thanksgiving
I
music.
I forgot all about it.
Oh, okay.
Oh, Thanksgiving?
We also want to thank our servicemen and women overseas.
Thank you.
Thank
you very much.
See, this is why
Appreciate
we need her.
You know,
it
was,
for all that they do for right. us and protecting our country. And it's a time where we do want to give thanks for everything that they do.
I was coming up here today, and I was thinking about being thankful for stuff. And this guy was, I was listening.
Not only can she be the co-host, she's absolutely. The short track America chaplain right
I
now. That's it.
I was listening to talk radio.
Make it
and
so.
And I thought.
Obi-Wan.
I am so thankful I wasn't born in Pakistan.
Oh, boy. Aren't we
We want to thank Dayton Andrews Dodge and Evergreen Development Construction
Budweiser.
Company. Budweiser. The
yeah,
Heels
really
and Wheels Racing. And, of
signs.
Course, the Snook River Grill.
Beautiful signs.
Nice
Beautiful
we appreciate
restaurant.
Budweiser signs. They took care
Everybody
of us.
Everybody out there ought to come out here. This is really nice.
It's yeah, cool.
Of course,
it's
absolutely. And if you come out, we'll make you our official pre-show counter.
Huh?
Say
10,
what?
9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Good night, everybody.
Limit, man.
Yeah, I'm going to take it to the limit. I'm going to take it to the house and burn something. Okay.
We'll be right back. limit one more time.